It's a very special edition of One Bills Live today. Steve Tasker will be with us. Thurman Thomas is having his number 34 retired by the team this fall. Thurman's in studio with us in the first hour. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Bills fullback Pat DeMarco just off the practice field. Pat will talk with us about his offseason and what to look for in 2018. And coming up at 2 o'clock, former Bills safety, now ESPN insider Matt Bowen joins us to talk about the 2018 draft. One Bills Live starts right now.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hey, hello there. Welcome to the show, One Bills Live. I'm John Murphy. Steve Tasker's sitting side by here, and we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive with One Bills Live, New Era Field. Right next door, we're inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. And a big day here. Out on that field about an hour or so ago, Steve had the honor and the pleasure of introducing the newest Buffalo Bill, former Buffalo Bill, to get his number retired. Thurman Thomas, number 34, is going to be retired this fall. And yeah. You were out there doing it, right?
It was awesome, yeah. And in fact, that's why, you know, we do the little open of the show, and you were there, you did it by yourself today because I was over there with Thurman. It was a beautiful day, and it's on his birthday. He turns 52 today. And I did the math wrong. It's his 18th 34 birthday, not his 22nd. You never do public math. But anyway, the sentiment was there, and it was great to see him. He's looking great, and obviously he has known about it. It's not like it was a surprise to him, because when they do this, the first person they go to is the player, make sure he can be at this game and what his schedule is, and make sure a guy like Thurman to clear his schedule. So it was really more of an announcement for the fans and do it on his birthday, and it's pretty cool.
I wish we had the video, because you got kind of emotional.
You know, that caught me off guard.
We were watching on Facebook Live.
It caught me off guard. Because I held that jersey up, and all of a sudden it hit me. Thurman put his hand on my shoulder. I almost couldn't get through it. I cry at a really good beer commercial. So when my buddy gets his jersey retired, and I hadn't really thought about it. But I mean, we kind of did this thing where they tossed the jersey and I held it up.
Yeah.
As soon as I got it and held it up and looked at it, I almost couldn't continue, man. I almost got choked.
I know.
And I don't. It came out of nowhere. But because I really did. I'm so excited for him, and it is. And in our locker room, and in the locker room with these guys now. When guys were going on the Wall of Fame, we had a lot of guys from that team go on the Wall of Fame, including myself. It is a big deal. It means something.
Did you cry when you went in the Wall of Fame? Were you emotional?
I don't know that I got emotional during my speech, because I had it rehearsed so well.
Yeah.
But because, you know, hey, I'm a big
You're
time.
You're a pro.
I'm a big time professional.
Sure. Yeah.
But,
yes, you are.
But yeah, it was important. I remember having a conversation with my late friend Kent Hull when he got put up. There is no, this is before they retired jerseys. There's no greater honor in this region than to have your name put on that wall. I mean, you think it's big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, having, a Skyway named after you, I mean, it's like something that's a fixture in the town. Have your name put on it, like your jersey in the rafters at the old Odd or the arena. It just doesn't get any bigger than that. And then to be one of three guys.
Yeah,
to get your jersey retired. And you can make a case for it. I mean, our Twitter poll is about that today. Who else would you like to see? But you'd be talking about those three guys are the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
of Bills football, and it grabbed me when I started talking about Thurman. It was pretty cool.
Thurman's standing by. He's going to be on the show with us here momentarily. We'll let you phone in your congratulations to Thurman Thomas when he joins us. He'll spend a good deal of this first hour of the show with us here today. And Steve's right. Our Twitter poll today deals with that singular honor. Now three times the number being retired by the Buffalo Bills. Jim Kelly's the number 12, was retired in 2001. Then the Bills waited 15 years. Bruce Smith's number 78, retired 2 years ago, 2016. 2 years later, Thurman Thomas, number 34, officially retired. The Bills are going to do it in the Monday night game against the Patriots on October 29th, probably a halftime ceremony. I don't think that those details have been worked through yet. So we got Thurman in here to talk about it. And our Twitter poll deals with the next one. Is there a next one? Maybe no one else, merits that kind of recognition.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it via Twitter at One Bills Live. The Bills announcing Thurman Thomas will have his number 34 retired this fall. Our Twitter poll, which Bills player is the next to have their number retired and why? Let us know what you think. We got a poll up there, and it's going pretty one-handed to Andre Reed. 77% of you say Andre Reed should be the next player to have his number retired. 12% of you say Kent Hall. 7% have somebody else in mind. Love to hear who you have in mind. 4% say Daryl Talley.
And we always kind of like to react to people who engage us through Twitter. And one of the early ones, this is a really interesting idea from B. Furman. He says, instead of retiring numbers, teams should assign those numbers to captains or to leaders every year, even just for one game, to celebrate the legends of the past so they'll never be forgotten. I think that does more for the legacy than putting it on a wall and taking it off the field. That's an interesting thought.
I don't know if it is. I mean, I don't know if it's an interesting thought. I'll give you that. I don't know if it's a good idea. I don't know if it's a bigger honor. You retire a guy's number, that means no one else can come close to that guy, no matter who he is. Yes, it would be great if it would serve to inspire somebody as a captain,
right,
or
right,
or you know, I mean, right away you'd think, well, why not give Josh Allen number 12? Maybe that'll inspire him. But you know, number 12 should be special. It should be set aside as it has been here.
Yeah. But it is an interesting idea to, you know, maybe keep it alive and maybe have every home game a different guy wear it or something, you know, something of that nature where it's
well, that would
be,
wreak havoc on the play-by-play guy.
Yeah, nobody cares.
But, I care.
Nobody
cares.
Don't
be changing numbers.
Nobody cares. But, you know, you think about it, a different guy would be assigned that number so that there would always be a number 34 in honor of the guy who wore it so well. And, you know, that's – or a number 12 or – you know, because you could have – even for one game, you could have a defensive lineman wearing it, you know, a number 30, a number 12 or number 78.
Right.
Or.
You know what they did, and I'm not sure what the status is now. At my alma mater at Syracuse University, number 44 was a legendary number, And every once in a while, they'd get a recruit and promise him, running back typically, because it was Ernie Davis' number and Jim Brown, promise him number 44. I don't know if they do that anymore. I think 44 might be retired at Syracuse. If someone has a thought on that, ring us up and let us know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're talking about here. Although
a little bit.
They kind of use it as an incentive to sign the recruit.
Yeah,
hey,
but you
if
think
you
about
come
this,
here, we'll give you this legendary number.
Think about this, too. We drafted Tre'Davious White last year out of LSU. And at LSU, Tre'Davious White wore, I'm guessing, I can't remember, number 18?
Not sure.
But he had a number that was very significant to the LSU community.
Yes.
And whoever wore that number was considered leader, captain, stalwart character guy, just a real treasure to the team. So it could be something like that as well. But that's one way. But I think in the professional level, and you go around the league and look around, the Chicago Bears have 14 numbers retired. 14. I mean, the league almost went to him and said, listen, you can't do that anymore. Because he got, you know, you go back, Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, you know, all those the great players that they've had in the past. It's interesting to think about. But certainly here in Buffalo, they did not do it for, you know, forever. Up until Jim retired and he came back and
14. I got to look and see who those are. There's probably some guys there that even in Chicago fans might say, "Come on,
maybe."
Now you're gonna force me to look.
But let's face it. But here's the thing too. Back in the day, back in the 40s and 50s, they're trying to sell tickets
right
to Soldier Field. So that's one reason for people to come in and buy a ticket and do it. Now, I mean, you've really got to hit it out of the park, so to speak, in football to get your number retired. Like, you know, go to the Hall of Fame.
Yankees have 15 retired numbers. That's a lot. That's why I see some funny names on the Yankees roster. You're right, 14 for the Chicago Bears. I mean, they've been around forever. Let me read some of the
Gale
names.
Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus.
Yep. Brian Piccolo.
Walter Payton, Brian Piccolo.
Because of the tragic circumstances.
Gotcha.
Willie Gallimore. George Halas.
Willie Gallimore.
Yeah, running back.
I don't know
57
him.
57 through 63.
All right, George Halas, I get it. Pop there.
Bronco Nagurski.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
Sid Luckman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard
much. Just
Builders, that one running back's the one, only one I don't recognize.
Red Grange.
Oh, gee, many crickets.
Mike Ditka. Those are just some of them. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to make arguments against removing any of them. That's
a
lot of retired.
Well, that's
numbers.
Only like 7 or 8 or 9, though. You got like 5 more. Who are they?
You want to know the names?
Yeah, I do.
George McAfee, running back, defensive back in the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
Bill Hewitt, end 1930s.
Oh, wow.
Bill George.
1930s.
Yeah. Well, the Bears have been around since the 1920s.
Right.
Bill George, 1950s and 60s, a linebacker. Clyde Bulldog Turner in the 40s and 50s. Then I gave you Red Grange and Mike Ditka.
Yeah, there you go. All
The Boston Celtics, you know how many retired numbers they have?
Let me get 8.
21.
You are kidding.
Oh, no, that's a lot.
That's
ridiculous. And that's only since the 50s, I would think, right? Well, since the NBA began. Anyway, we're off topic. Thurman's coming by. He's going to be in studio with us. We'll take your phone calls for Thurman. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, we're going to talk with Bills fullback Pat DeMarco. I have Tre'Davious White on my list, but that he was replaced by Pat DeMarco. Pat DeMarco at 1 o'clock. And coming up at 2 o'clock, former Bills safety, number not retired, Matt Bowen, played here a year and a half. Good player. A little bit banged up when he played here, and Matt Bowen is now a great analyst and ESPN NFL insider. Matt Bowen with some thoughts on the draft. But Thurman's coming by. Did you know, Steve, I didn't know this till I read this, Thurman is, had his high school jersey, number 34, retired at Willow Ridge High School, and had his number 34 at Oklahoma State retired as well, and now with the Buffalo Bills.
It must be something to be good at it, that good at it at every level.
He's a Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
High School Hall of Fame, I imagine, too.
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
NFL Most Valuable Player. Thurman's coming by.
Talk about a rubber stamp, man. Just, everywhere you go, you're just the most best thing ever.
I just crying about him a couple of minutes ago.
I wonder what that would be like. I'm over that now. I'm going to have to give him some trouble.
The sentiment is gone. Let's hear your thoughts on Thurman's number being retired. It'll happen, I would think, halftime of the Bills' Monday night game against the New England Patriots. Give us your thoughts on that. 803-0-
that's October 9th, correct?
October
29th. I'm sorry.
803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550.
Two days before Halloween.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, the crowd will be into that.
What do you think of Thurman's number being retired? Give us a call. And who should go next, if anybody? I gave you the votes on the Twitter poll. You know what? I'm going to vote for other because I don't know that I'm ready to retire any of the numbers, Steve. I think three is good. We went through 14 with the Bears, 21 with the Celtics, 15 with the Yankees. You don't want to get there.
The Bills got three. I think there's room for more. I mean, and plus you're talking to me.
I want it to be a special honor.
I got a lot of guys who I'd love to put my arms around. You know, Kent Hull, you know, Andre, Daryl, you know, all these, Daryl Talley, Andre Reed, all these guys that were so special to the team. Plus you had a bunch of guys who – and you can't retire Marv Levy's jersey. He didn't have one. Or Bill Polian's jersey. He didn't have one. I mean, you
both
know,
on the Wall of Fame.
Right, they're on the Wall of Fame, which is equally well, not equally, but very good. I mean, it's awesome. You can't do any more than that. So I get it. It gets to the point where it's
you dilute it, you water it down.
Right,
if
when
you got
21 guys like the Celtics, it's a little bit. I read an article maybe last year or something when the last guy went on in the rafters for the Celtics. They were like going serious, and a lot of, you know, the writers are going, "Way, I don't know, you know, JoJo White, you know, some of these guys." They go
good
back
player.
And he was a good player, and he was on some championship team. But you go back and look at his numbers and stuff, and he wasn't even, you know, he wasn't even the best his position in the conference, you know, or something like that. Let alone. Getting his jersey retired. You get into that.
Let me tell you about some of the Celts. Walter Brown, who founded the franchise, owner of the team, Red Auerbach.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Dennis Johnson, DJ, seven seasons.
Seven seasons.
Bill Russell certainly should have his number
absolutely.
Retired. JoJo White.
How many years?
Two NBA championships. 1969, he played about 10 or 11 years for the Celtics.
Okay, a decade's good.
Bob Cousy. You got to retire Bob Cousy's number.
All right.
You know who Bob Cousy is?
Of course I know. He's a guard, yeah.
Tommy Heinsohn, coach, player.
Coach and player. Yeah.
Satch Sanders, great player in the late 60s championship teams. John Havlicek.
Yeah, okay.
Got to retire that number. Dave Cowens. Now, I will, at this point, I should admit, I hate the Celtics, and I do. And their hatred was renewed last night while I watched the second half of that game last night, and it kind of made me remember how much I hate the Celtics. And it's a Buffalo Braves thing. If you're a Braves fan, as I was, you hated the Celtics.
Did you hate the Celtics after the Braves were gone and they had Magic? I mean, Bird.
Oh, yeah. I hated the Celtics forever.
You hated Larry Bird.
And still do. Yeah.
Walt and Robert Parrish.
Really? All of them. Wow. Show me a Celtic and I hate
him. Bitter Buffalo.
Don Nelson does not belong there. Bill Sharman, Easy Ed McCauley, Frank Ramsey, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, Cedric Maxwell, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, Paul Pierce, Reggie Lewis, Robert Parrish, Jim Luskatoff. 21 Boston Celtics have their numbers retired. That's unbelievable. That's way too many. 21 Boston Celtics. Right. 15 New York Yankees, as we said. 14 Chicago Bears and just 3 Buffalo Bills now with their numbers retired. And the latest one to have his numbers retired is now in studio with us, Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas. Congratulations, Thurman. This is cool.
Thank you. still kind of being pinched about it, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's obviously incredible humbling to have your number retired. And, you know, I wasn't here for Jim's, but I was here for Bruce's.
Why weren't you here for Jim's? Are you still playing?
When was Jim's?
2001.
2001. Nope. I was in
Florida.
I was in Florida, yeah.
You know what? Well, here's the thing, though. Nobody knew he was going to get retired.
Nobody knew.
It was a surprise.
Right. It was a surprise, yeah.
Right. If you'd have known, you'd
have been here.
Yeah,
right.
It was a thing. And it was a big deal because it had never been done in the history of the team.
Well, I tell you what. For myself and really for Bruce to have Kim and Terry retire our number, guys that we didn't play for them.
Right.
You know, but I think they recognized, you know, obviously what we did here for the Buffalo Bills, for an organization for a long period of time. You know, obviously I'm still living here and still doing things for the organization. And but it's, like I said earlier, it's not just me. I mean, I've had so much help along the way. You, Jim, friends, family,
yeah, I held your jersey up
coaches.
Today. I did a lot.
Coaches, you know, and it goes back to, you know, it's not just the 34s, Cookie Gilchrist.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the list of
Jim Braxton.
Did you see the list?
Oh, you got the list?
Yep,
yeah, here it is.
Nine of them, and the list includes Cookie Gilchrist, as you said, was a 34 for the Bills. So a fullback named Don Stone, don't have any recollection of him at all. A halfback named Alan Smith in the mid-60s. Wide receiver named Bubba Thornton wore the number. I do remember him vaguely. Jim Braxton was a really good, solid player.
Yes,
key
he was.
Player for OJ.
Yep.
Booker Moore.
Booker Moore, yeah.
Pick. Yeah, he was a 34. Gary Wilkins, fullback for a couple of seasons. And then the fact nobody's worn it since you, does that mean the number is, you know, in a real sense, has been retired?
That's just because Thurman slips the equipment guys a hundo every year so they don't give anybody the jersey. Listen, and it's funny, too, because you talk about retiring. They ain't going to retire my jersey, but they washed it as soon as I retired. And they handed it right back out. I know that.
Well, you know, I heard a story when the Bills drafted Leotis McKelvin. Mm-hmm. He went to, Troy State?
Yeah.
He wanted 34. And Woody told him, no, you can't do
it. Your number was, you know, in effect retired. No, it already has been.
Well, you know, I mean, and that's what I say all the time, too. It just never, you know, became official.
No, it's official.
But it's official now. But, yeah, it had never been worn ever since I left the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, and that to me there was special.
Yeah.
But for Kim and Terry to do this,
that's the thing, too, about Kim and Terry. That it was so many strokes of luck or fortuitous, you know, favor, blessing, whatever, that Kim and Terry knew the club before. They were fans.
Right.
They're local. They grew up here. They have a history with this mm-hmm. city. And, you know, we all know, but we know better than anybody, when you're here in this city, for this team permeates everything.
Right.
I mean, and the Sabres. They're part mm-hmm, of everything.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You have family, friends, coworkers, you know, relatives. The clerk, everybody you do business with, they all have a fanship in one of those two teams. So, and Kim and Terry being a part of that, knowing, you know, the history of your history and how great you were, you know, just to do it right away, I think it's awesome.
Yeah,
it really speaks to them and how well they have the pulse on the region.
It really does, and they've been outstanding owners throughout the community with the Sabres.
Right.
Everything else that they've been done over the years. My daughter Annika has really become close with Kelly, their daughter.
Right.
I mean, it's been ever since they've owned the team. It's been positive news for me as a former player because, you know, sometimes in this league, a new owner or a new general manager, they might not want that around.
Yeah.
You know, they might want to say, you know what, I don't know if I want Jim Tasker or Thurman around,
yeah.
You know. As
Why,
much. And,
what do we need them for?
Yeah, what do we need them for? You know, they're not playing for us. And
right.
But for them to really have a hand in a lot of decisions that are based on what we do as former players, you got to take your hat off. I mean, they're doing it with the Sabres also. It's great. I'm loving being around here. I'm just thinking about it. If they continue to stay this path with Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, Sky's the limit.
We were laughing. Murph was laughing at me yesterday. We had Sean McDermott on. Yeah, man, during the break, man, I was guzzling it, man. I love this Kool-Aid. I'm right. all in. I'm ready to go cover. If I would make it 20 yards, but I'd start to cover a kick.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd try to pick up a third and one, too.
I'd make sure I got blocked so I'd have to run down. Right. I'd seek out somebody to keep me from doing it. But the guys they're drafting, the temperament of the guys they're drafting, right. the kind of character guys they brought in, mm-hmm. the kind of coaching staff they got, the way Sean handles everything. The guys they make sure stay on the team if they can, and the guys that they bring in, and the guys that even the guys they say goodbye to, man, it is palpable how together they are making it for these guys, how close knit they really work at making this team.
And the thing about it, I heard him talk the other day, and right about yesterday when you guys, we're not just filling rosters, we're finding guys that can compete right. and help right. this football.
Right.
We're not just replacing a defensive end because, we got to fill a roster spot.
Right. Right.
No, we think this guy can play.
Right.
That's why we're bringing him on this football team. And, right. That's the culture here, and I love it. Yeah, and I heard him talking yesterday, and, he sent me a text this morning, said that he couldn't be here today for the announcement. But stuff like that helps. Yeah. It helps.
Yeah, he's been really open and honest and friendly with all of the old guys, like you, me, Thurman.
Are we supposed to have another dinner this year?
I don't know. I think he's too busy. No, he doesn't need to talk to us anymore. Right, exactly. Listen, we should talk to him. We should ask him for dinner, right? We'll pay his dinner. We'll come out. But you're right. We mentioned it yesterday, the first year, last year, in a long time where they did not have any rookie free agents make the club.
Right.
And I think it speaks to the fact that they got guys, they can pick guys that are really good, and they stick with them. And even it's going through all the way in this offseason. It's continuing. They're getting better and better. I'm stoked about how this. Stoked about every day.
You're gonna have to talk about it 5 days a week now.
Yeah,
it's been fun so far. And there ain't anything going on in this building. They had a huge competition going in for conditioning and stuff out there today. I mean, you couldn't hear yourself talking.
Well, they're playing dodgeball.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable. You talk about a death match and it was dodgeball.
For what?
Nothing. They ain't playing
just
for anything.
Just bragging rights. Just for bragging
rights. Locker room stuff. And I'm telling you what, man, that intensity was all the way up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, Hall of Famer, and going to have his number retired by the Bills October 29th when they host the New England Patriots. The announcement came about an hour and 10 minutes ago. Have you seen the video yet? We have it on video. I want you to keep an eye on your partner here, though, Steve,
who made the announcement.
Take a look at this video, the Thurman, if you're watching on TV or listen, if you're listening on the radio. This is Thurman being told and being presented with his jersey as his number is officially retired by the Buffalo Bills.
We're here to announce that on the Monday night game, 2018, when the New England Patriots come to Buffalo in October, the Buffalo Bills are going to retire your jersey, number 34, which is, we had rehearsed, I start to get choked up when I say that, because it's a big deal.
Wow.
He knew this was going to happen. We knew it. We kind of rehearsed it, but when I say this, it's kind of cool. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this. And to have the fact that nobody else is going to wear it, I think is pretty fitting. And this is really an announcement for the fans.
Yeah.
You don't do this stuff without making sure he's going to be here when we retire his jersey, so they had to make sure he did it. And we had a text loop with Bruce and Jim and Andre and Cornelius Bennett, and we're all so stoked that the Buffalo Bills are going to retire number 34 after a Hall of Fame career, coming back and living in Buffalo with his wife and children, being a part of all of our lives. It's just really cool. And I'm stoked that I get a chance to announce that.
Wow. He got you crying, too, a little bit, Thurman.
Yeah, he got me,
too. I'm telling you, man.
But this, like I said, this is not the first time that this has happened.
with him?
We've been on a number of trips where he started to speak, and he gets choked up.
We got, yeah, we go on these vacations together with all our wives, and you know, I have a couple of red wines into it. You start getting philosophical about life. And, I love you, man. You know, I told you, Murph, and it's true. I cry like I'm an old man. I cry at a really good beer commercial. I'll get into tears. You know? Those old AT&T commercials where I reach out and touch, you know, that just kills me.
Anything with dogs in it, right?
I can't. So I am a total easy mark for getting teared up over anything. And I got grandkids now. My life is nothing but tears every day. You know, but you know, so really, and that getting choked up like that really tells you what it means to Thurman, to the guys who played with him, the guys who it have already happened to. You know,
right.
And I think it's awesome too. October 29th, Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football.
Like everybody's, all the guys, everybody will show up for that.
You know,
a big scene. It'll be awesome.
No, you know me. That would have been the same weekend that Bruce would have picked for his jersey to be retired too.
Oh yeah.
I'm kind of a 1 o'clock guy.
Yeah, right.
I was kind of like Sunday 1 afternoon against somebody that we can really beat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying though, it would have added to it. You know, I'd be more than happy if they win
maybe
that Monday
make
night
a difference.
Game.
You
yeah,
a difference
I hope
maker.
I hope I gotta, will make a
well,
difference.
Well, see, that's the difference between you
I hope
and him.
Because
if they did it on Bruce in the night when the team won, Bruce take the credit for it. Plus, he'd like 201 sacks instead of 200.
He's still crying about why his jersey wasn't retired first anyway.
That's a little overstatement, but yeah, you hear about it. It does enter the conversation.
It does.
That's the only thing you can say.
It entered the text this morning. Did you
I know.
See it?
I saw it.
What did he say?
I replied. He goes, it should have been 78-34, then 12.
Oh. Yeah, oh yeah.
So we have to say that to keep Jim in line too, because we can't let Jim get – Jim, you know – so because Jim is fair game as well. He's not untouchable. But it is absolutely monumental. And it because
Thank you.
And I said it a little bit when they just showed the video. There's a lot of sacrifice in what it takes to play for 11 years for this club, go to those four Super Bowls, and be a National Football League most valuable player. That's unbelievable.
You know, I obviously couldn't have done it without you guys. I mean, having Bruce on one side, you are special teams. And really having a guy that I talk about all the time, having a guy like Kenny Davis who could relieve me coming out of games, you know, it just wasn't, you know, just me always doing the hard and dirty work. You know, we had other players that were involved with that situation also. And Kenny was a great guy. I mean, the group that I had.
With Eli.
With Eli, Kenny, Caldwell, Tim Tyndale. I mean, those guys. Eddie Fuller. I mean, it goes back. I mean, the group that we had was really special every single year that I was here with the Buffalo Bills. But
one of the things I get a kick out of, you know, and the Bills Mafia and all the fan base everywhere, they always do stuff on Twitter and they'll put stuff – because social media now, they can all engage players, former players, and you kind of catch what they're saying in the fan base. And there's a – on Twitter, every once in a while you say a touchdown a day from the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah, right.
So they had one a while back, and it was – they show like a 20-second clip of – and I can't even remember who scored the touchdown. It was like BB or something. But all the guys coming up and – it was just like a – brought back so many memories. Every guy was – Kenny Davis was on there. John Davis was on there. Carwell showed up. Chris Hale showed up. Keith McKellar showed up. Pete Metzler. All these guys were – In the video highlight, and it was like, man, it was just so fun.
It was fun.
What a great group. And you forget about all those guys that were a part of it. And you go into work every day and you see them first thing in the morning. And it was quite an atmosphere.
It was atmosphere, and I think that atmosphere is coming on right now
too.
Because back when we played, we actually were wanting to go to practice. To see the guys, to see each other, to hang out with each other. And I think that's the kind of environment that is being created over here
great,
by Coach
It's a great place to work.
Yep, great place to work. Yep.
Yeah. Thurman, you were drafted 30 years ago, right, 88?
Wow.
Here's what my question is. Did you at any point back then, you come up here, you know, you're mad because it's second round, not first round, your rehab from the knee injury. And anyway, could you envision what would happen? You know, you play on the team that went to four Super Bowls. You go to Pro Bowls. You're a most valuable player. You go to the Wall of Fame, and now the Wall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and now you get your number retired. Nobody dreams like that, right? Nobody says, I'm going to Buffalo and doing all that.
No, no. I mean, you know, my first dream was just to make it, to hopefully get drafted in the National Football League. And that opportunity came, you know. But you don't, you know, my thing was always, I just wanted to try to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
That was it. I never thought about the Hall of Fame, the Wall of Fame, or any of that type of stuff.
Not to mention your whole family, you know, a family living here, right?
Married a local, you know. Yeah, that never, you know, I came here to play football. That was it. You know, it was all those things just really never, like the MVP.
Yeah.
I didn't, I mean, I think even Jim was second that year. I mean, I don't wish that I was the MVP. I mean, I come to the league thinking that I want to win a Super Bowl. That's all I want to do. Right. I wouldn't even think about, like, all pro or all rookie team or going to the Pro Bowl. It was all about winning football games and trying to horse that Vince Lombardi trophy up. I mean, because that's all that I kind of looked at when I was a kid growing up. You know, obviously Monday Night Football. I'm like, oh, but that would be great, you know, to play on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell and all those guys or whatever, but the Super Bowl was it.
Yeah.
That was the only dream that I've ever had, thinking that one day I would be able to lift the Vince Lombardi trophy. Never happened, but there's so many memories in between.
Yeah, a lot of other good stuff.
A lot of other great stuff.
Thurman's going to stick with us. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and take a few phone calls. If you have something to say to the Hall of Famer who's going to get his number retired for the Buffalo Bills, give us a call, 803-0550, and toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Thurman Thomas in studio with us. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Gundy, head football coach at Oklahoma State University. Thurman, great job. You've always made us proud. Nobody's more deserving than you to have your number retired. As always, you're welcome here. Look forward to seeing you soon. Congratulations, Thurman.
How about that one, Thurman? Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State coach, a former teammate of yours, I'm
former told. Former teammate of mine, yeah, 2 years. No, was it? Yeah, 2 years. 2 years. He was my football quarterback coach.
That's pretty
1986
cool.
1986 and 87. He's done a tremendous job down there at Oklahoma State. Really turned that program around. Still got that one little asterisk by it that we can't beat OU.
Yeah.
We can beat them in basketball and wrestling and golf, can't beat them in football.
It's a different world than the NCAAs, I got to tell you. You can go 1-10, but if that one is the right one, it don't matter.
It's
a happy football banquet.
Thank you, Coach.
Thurman Thomas having his number retired by the Bills. They'll do it in a ceremony when they play the Patriots on October 29th. If you have thoughts on that, give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. Start with a call from Virginia. Bruce on the line from Virginia. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I got some thoughts on him getting his jersey.
Oh, my. What's up?
Congratulations, Swati, man. I tell you what, man, we are so happy and so proud for you and Patty and the kids. I tell you, to have you go up and have your jersey retired, and I don't, I'm a huge statistic guy. Out of the 100-year history of professional football, there's roughly just a little more than 150 players that have ever had their jerseys retired. So, and that's less than the number that's actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame by about half that amount.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is quite an accomplishment. It's quite a statement that's being made by the new owners, Terry and Ken Pegula. And congratulations to the city of Buffalo. You guys are welcoming a star athlete, a star individual, and a man of great integrity. To be ever enshrined and having his jersey retired in Buffalo Bills history.
Bruce, thanks for coming on.
I
know
appreciate it, man.
That's awesome to hear, and I know that you know You really are a big fan. I knew you are a statistic guy. I did know that about you. But tell us a little bit about, you know, what Thurman can expect. You had your jersey retired. It was on a Monday night game as well. And it's quite a scene, is it not?
Yeah, man. And you can't prepare for it. I mean, it's even more emotional than actually your speech at the Hall of Fame, because you're in front of the home crowd.
It's a good point.
80,000 fans, and I know when I actually walked up to the podium and I was standing in front of all those Bills fans, I was speechless. I was motionless. I just froze, and all I could do was look at the crowd and look at all of the fans, and then I turned and looked to Carmen and Austin. Then I turned and looked at my teammates Thurman and Daryl and Jim, and then I turned around and I saw the Pagulas, and it was just a overwhelming experience, and it's just one that I will never ever forget.
Yeah, it was quite a moment. I know I was there. And Thurman, I mean, have you had a chance to think about the tenor of your message? I mean, because it's an opportunity, man. This is, you know, because you know it's going to be on Monday. It's like nobody's going to be watching. It's going to be like 50 million people. It's like not going to be like a Super Bowl or anything like that. And it's going to be, you know, like 75,000 live in the studio audience, you know. Have you thought about it?
I haven't thought about it. You'd
be best not to, I think.
Right, yeah. I you know what? I'm going to just sit down with Patty and the kids and go over some things.
Don't do that. Just wing it.
No, I'm not going to wing it. I mean, you know what? I mean, the thing about it is that, you know what? The people that I kind of thanked in the Hall of Fame speech would be the kind of the same people that I would thank in this speech. You know, my family, former teammates, and the fans.
Yeah. It's Stevetasker. Make sure you spell
Steve
that
Tasker,
right.
Yes.
And okay. Then you can just call Bruce 78.
All right,
yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, 7, 8, and 12.
Bruce, when I know that you're coming in, you'll be in town throughout. You came in town a couple of weeks ago just to say hello to Jim Kelly, and you're going to come in for his golf tournament as well. When can we expect to see you in town, or you'll be at this Monday night game? Am I right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I'll probably come in a day or two early, so I can get settled in and not have to be in a rush to enjoy the festivities. And you know, it's kind of like going into the Hall of Fame when you have to prepare and get your speech ready and make sure everyone's taken care of. Now I could just sit back and relax. Yes. And watch and just yeah. Enjoy the moment, enjoy my teammates.
And have your Camus.
And have my Camus.
Let me put you on the spot for just a minute. I hope this isn't out of line, but you know, all of us remember playing and we had some great memories together. Is there something that happened in Thurman's career? Is there a play or a moment in Thurman's career? You know, he was the MVP. You were the MVP, defensive MVP. You were the best defensive player. In my mind, you were the best defensive player of all time. And there are things that people remember about your career, certain plays. Is there something you remember about your teammate Thurman Thomas in a game or a moment, even in the locker room or away from the game, that you'll always remember or says something about him?
Well, there's two stories. One I won't tell in full detail, but every morning when we walked into One Bills Drive, the locker room, there was humor. I mean, it was just a welcoming experience. It was laughter. It was love. It was a sense of family, and just couldn't wait to spend time with one another in that work environment. But the particular play that I will always remember that sticks out like a sore thumb. He did a flare route out of the backfield, and then he turned it into a nine. And I'm hope I'm saying this right in the proper offensive language. And Jim threw the ball and laid it out in front of him. And Jim, Thurman
dove for the ball, and he was parallel to the ground, and he reached out and snagged it and brought it back in with one hand. And right then, I saw brilliance. I saw excellence. I saw what this young man was going to mean to this team for years to come. And I tell you, after he made that catch, he was dead tired. But I ran up to him and grabbed him and shook him around. And yeah, I'm sure Thurman was like, what the hell is he doing? You know, he's like, I'm tired. but that right there was the play that really it really made me see what type of player he was going to become for the Buffalo Bills.
Well, that's good, because I remember it was against the Colts, and it was on opening day, I think, as well. So, Bruce, hey, I got to tell you, Bruce, thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot,
it means a lot, and we wish you the best. We'll look forward to seeing you in the fall when you come in for Thurman's jersey retirement.
Well, you guys will see me in about 3 weeks at Jim's golf tournament, too.
Right.
Looking forward to it, bro.
Make sure your golf game's ready.
All right, man. All right, man. All love you.
All right. Smith. Love you guys, man. Talk
Bruce Smith,
good.
Hall of Famer, number retired. Thurman Thomas number is going to be retired by the Bills October 29th at the New England game. You were mentioning during the break how you're getting text messages. You're hearing from former teammates, friends, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
People don't even know.
Some
numbers pop up. I'm
they're
like,
not,
who is this?
Not in your contacts,
is that, should I say who is this or yeah. just say thank you?
Yeah, you always say new phone.
right, new phone.
New phone, yeah.
You got time for a couple of calls
sure.
from fans here, Thurman?
Absolutely.
Just a couple. Mike and Kenmore. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. Hey, Thurman, I just want to say congratulations. It's a great honor for you and your family.
Thank you.
I don't know if you remember me. I was your driver at Giorgio's. I took you to your Empire Sports Show every Wednesday night.
Those
really?
Were the days.
Those were the days. We did a lot of traveling.
I got to tell you, listen, Thurman, I've had a ton of famous people in the car, and none of them were as good as you. Not a one. You're a credit to this community, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
thank
that's
you
a
very
nice
much.
Call.
That's,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, this obviously, you know, this community has meant the world to me, and it will be for the rest of my life. And, you know, and that's, you know, I love it here so much. That's one of the reasons why we moved back. I mean, just,
right.
you know, just to be around the community again. Because I think as players, you know, while we're playing, we try to be involved with the community a lot. But we can't because right. we have a job to do. But the last, 11 years that I've been back here, it has given me an opportunity to get back and really be involved with the community. And I love it. I mean, you just – walking down the street, you know, people is, hey, Thurman, or whatever, and just going to visit kids, going to these schools, you know. I couldn't really do that when I played, but now I'm able to do that and kind of, you know, you see some of the people be like, oh, those were some great years, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh, that's great, and I really appreciate that, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. and even for the kids that haven't been, you know, didn't get to see
they're
us
too young,
play,
yeah.
they're too young, you know, I appreciate them and their parents teaching them about what we did back
yeah,
in the day,
sure.
and it's been great, man. I like I said, I love it here. You know, this is a place that I call home.
Yeah,
even though I'm from Houston, it's a place that I call home, and I really appreciate. You know, I mean, it's everybody that's been here since we've been back have been just awesome.
One more call. This one from Scott in Rochester. Go ahead, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Murph? What's going on, Steve?
Hey,
Thurman. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Great honor. Great honor, man. You were my aspiring running back when I was younger, man. I couldn't wait to watch Sunday football and see Thurman out there. It was the highlight of my weekend growing up, man. Huge fan. Always have been, always will be.
Appreciate it.
What a great thing that they're doing for you there. I mean, you've earned it every step of the way, you know, and being a part of the community. It's awesome that you moved back here, you know, and it's good to see good people that are well-rounded, that are doing what you do in your position, and I'm just real happy for you, man, real happy for you, and I will be there when they do it. I was there for Bruce. It was a great, great looking, great show. I can't wait to see you out there and get your number retired, man.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling. You know what's kind of
strikes
me? It'll be cool, Thurman. It's from now till October. So about 5 months, you'll hear from people about this. You won't get sick of it, I don't think, right? It's going to be
pretty cool. No, I mean, it's already turning out to be cool, you know? Yeah. I mean, to have them announce it, you know, on my birthday is, you know, that's something special, you know? I mean, it's turning 52. I mean, that, like, hey, what were you doing when you turned 52? I got my jersey retired, too, you know? I mean, and, but to see, you know, hear people like, you know, from Rochester call and Syracuse or wherever it may be, you know, just to see how many Buffalo Bills fans are really out there and really how many fans that, as players that we've touched throughout this entire community all the way to Rochester, Syracuse, and a lot of different places.
Thurman, thanks. Congratulations. Happy birthday. This is, as you said, about as cool a birthday as you could ever have.
Yeah, this is about as cool as it can get.
Yeah, it could be better.
Yeah. You're going to have a press conference here in a couple minutes that where all the rest of the media get a chance to talk to you. But I'm so glad you spent time with us. We announced it live earlier, but coming on One Bills Live with us is awesome. You'll be back during the season, I know. And,
absolutely.
And we're going to have you on the week your jersey gets retired, too. It'll be awesome.
That'd be awesome. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, appreciate it, man. Love you.
I'm happy you made Steve cry. That was the highlight so far for me.
Oh, that's your bar is really low, Murph.
We can go off air, and I can do that.
Thurman Thomas, Hall of Famer. He's going to have his jersey number retired October 29th when the Bills play the Patriots. Steve and I back with more One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Thurman Thomas going to have his jersey retired October 29th when the Bills play the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Had a good time talking with Thurman, Steve, and just talking to him now on the segment, in the commercial break as he makes his way out to meet with the rest of the media out here. When he played, and when he was playing well, he was a handful for the media.
He had a chip on his shoulder.
He was a handful. He was tough.
He didn't like the media, and he used everything they said as fuel, you know. And a lot of guys do that, and even now you see it. I mean, these draft picks, you know. Josh Rosen saying 8 or 9 mistakes, all that. Thurman was like that. I don't know if he invented that, but he perfected it.
Whew.
He did not. I mean, he could construe anything into motivation, and that's why he was so good. He was motivated all the time to play as good as he could, and you know, NFL MVP, Hall of Fame, and the guy was, and he was, and I remember, I just after I retired, I still kind of tried to exercise a little bit, and go down, and I'd put old game tapes, that's how old it was like videotape, stick it in the thing and watch it while you're on the treadmill or whatever, and I watched games, and I forgot how physical it was. I mean, he took a pounding in a lot of games, and I got to thinking about it. He never took days off practice. He wouldn't just, like, sit there. Now, sometimes Marv or those guys say, hey, listen, Thurman, I don't want you to play today. You know, they would sit him down, but he would never, you know, just take days off. And after the physical pounding they took and the great plays that he made and the load he carried, the guy just, hey. He'd show up for work on Monday, and what a guy! And it was unbelievable.
Great running back, and you know, as his Buffalo career wound down the last few years, you know what I began to appreciate even more. And he probably couldn't run as quickly as he could earlier on in his Buffalo career, but he became the all-time greatest blitz pickup guy that I've ever seen. And it wasn't just physical, Steve. He would identify where the pressure is coming from and get there.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a superstar. He's a former NFL MVP. He's on track for a Hall of Fame career, and he's in there sticking his nose in there to pick up blitzes like, you know, he was Joe Sixpack, just trying to keep his job on the roster.
He did that a lot, and I think all those guys, you look back, and I do some public speaking. I speak on motivation and leadership and teamwork and all of that, and I always point to Thurman, to Bruce, to Jim, and how great of players they were, and Andre and some of the other guys on the team. I always point to them because not only were they physically gifted, but they did the dirty work. I mean, they worked really hard at being great in every aspect of their game. Bruce never would get – he's got 200 sacks. But that guy on first and second down was a beast too. He'd come down the line and close off the cutback and make tackles in the run game. Did it all the time. They all did that. Thurman and stepping to the right guy in protection. Thurman did that, not only step to the right guy, but he'd step to the wrong guy when the offensive line made a mistake, and he'd pick the guy up that was already supposed to be picked up. All over it. He knew what was going on in front of him all the time. And, you know, those guys, you know, as much credit as he can get, going to the Hall of Fame and having his jersey retired, I mean, a lot of people don't understand what that means, and that's it's all-encompassing. He was a truly, truly great player.
Was it you the other day? We were talking about Thurman yesterday, the day before, about knowing what everybody's blocking to sign.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah.
He would come off, and Kent Hull told me this one time, and, you know, Kent was – they would come back to the huddle, and, in off hours, and we were sitting around drinking a beer or whatever. Kent goes, man, I'll tell you what, that guy's unbelievable, talking about Thurman. I go, what do you mean? He goes, listen. He goes, he'll run a play, and he'll know, before we even watch the film, before we go back and look at it, he'll know who messed up on their block. Hmm. He'll know who missed their block or who couldn't get there and how they missed it and what they were supposed to do and how it was supposed to go. He knew all the stuff the guys up front were supposed to be doing and knew when they messed up just by, I don't know how, because he saw it, felt it. Knew who tackled? I don't know, but he knew. He could say, "Hey, man, you know, you got to get up to the second level." You know, like, Kent was really wowed by that.
Thurman Thomas, Hall of Famer, going up on the his name is up on the Wall of Fame, and now his number will be retired October 29th this year when the Bills play the Patriots. We're talking about that all day long. You're welcome to join us, and we'll talk a little bit later on about if anybody else should have their number retired from the Bills. But coming up next after the top of the hour break, Bills fullback Pat DeMarco joins us in studio. We'll talk about these offseason workouts, what went on out there today, and a lot more with Pat DeMarco. Come on back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The news from One Bills Drive today. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, is going to have his number retired by the Buffalo Bills. It'll happen on the Monday night game against New England Patriots, October 29th. Former second-round pick of the Bills, one of only three players to have his number retired in franchise history, joining Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly. Thurman Thomas, number 34, to be retired by the Buffalo Bills this fall. Reportedly, a couple of veterans are in on free agent visits for the Buffalo Bills. Defensive end Ryan Russell reportedly visiting the Bills today. He entered the league as a fifth-round pick of the Cowboys back in 2015. Spent the last two seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bills also reportedly ready to host wide receiver Russell Shepard on a visit, a former Carolina Panther. Josh Rosen got first-team snaps with the Arizona Cardinals in their offseason workout yesterday, impressing his coach and offensive lineman during the Cardinals' first voluntary organized team activities on Tuesday. The Los Angeles Rams say they're optimistic they'll eventually get a deal done with defensive lineman Aaron Donald. During a media session a month ago, Sean McVay of the Rams characterized it as really good dialogue. It looks like they're moving closer to a deal. Carolina Panthers now officially off the market. Panthers announced they've signed a definitive agreement to sell the team to David Tepper, former president and founder of a global hedge fund. The UB Bulls football team has signed an agreement to play a couple of Big Ten opponents in future seasons. The Bulls will play at Ohio State in 2020 and at Maryland in 2022. Hockey, Stanley Cup last night. Victor Hedman with a goal and two assists. Tampa Bay Lightning came up with a 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals. Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll play game 4 of the series in Washington tomorrow night. Tonight, it's Winnipeg at Vegas. Game 3 of that series tied 1-1 apiece. 9 o'clock faceoff tonight in Las Vegas. And the NBA playoffs tonight, Golden State at Houston. In Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, Golden State took Game 1 a couple of nights ago. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker with One Bills Live. Joining us in studio, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about Bills' legacy history with Thurman Thomas, but a current Buffalo Bill in studio with us right now, fullback Pat DeMarco. Pat, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, your voice sounds like a bucket of gravel because we've been standing around here all morning, and our offices, and we're getting ready for the show, we're right next to the practice field, and it was, I don't even know how to describe it. Every single guy on the roster, every coach, every staff member out there was screaming at the top of their lungs for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, playing dodgeball today. It was fun. I'm sure you probably heard some balls hit the wall coming around here and a bunch of screaming.
Yeah, you had to watch it walking through the field house because you're going to get beaned by it. They had these fence paddocks set up, and it was some small courts, and everybody was divided into teams. How did they divide the teams? You said there was kind of a positional thing to it?
There was a draft. So there's, I believe there's eight teams, and then basically had like a football draft. Snake draft. We pulled numbers out of a hat to get your slot, and it was a good time. A lot of competitors out there, so
you're
it was pretty heated.
Who won?
Oh, the specialists, Stephen Hauschka and Tywan Jones and Colton Schmidt and
the kicker
Reed
and
Ferguson.
Some punters won.
How about that? They must be
what is seriously
practicing throwing while in their downtime while they're not meeting.
What is going on?
What does that
on
tell you about dodgeball?
What's
think
going on with the world? That's amazing.
Hey, Pat, somebody, Steve and I were joking. We were watching a little bit, and I said somewhere out there, a Bills fan would say, what's the matter with them? Why aren't they getting ready and practicing for the Patriots? What does dodgeball do for a team in the month of May?
It's team chemistry. It's fun. It's competition. It's a time where you can get the coaches involved and players and just a different dynamic to it. And it's all competition. I mean, that's what we're doing in the weight room, what we're doing on the practice field. I mean, it's constant competition. So it's just a twist to have fun with it.
And it's ongoing throughout camp. I mean, you know, they keep track of who's winning, who's losing, how each team's doing, and where guys fall. And it's all about a point system going all the way through.
Bills,
so it's first day all the way through the 9 weeks or whatever, 10 weeks of.
Yeah, and there's some stuff up for grabs, too. You get front row parking spots if your team wins. You get your own hotel room for away games if your team wins. So little incentives like that to really keep the competition going and get guys fired up and – shoot, my voice is almost lost because of
right
it.
Plus, you get guys like you can get defensive linemen playing with wide receivers on the same team, and you kind of get that cross pollination of positions, and
for sure,
you got to get to know guys and compete with each other.
Yeah, it's awesome. We did a bike race last week, and that was cool to just see guys push it to the max and to kind of continually uplift them and get guys going and just.
It's interesting you say bike race because the bikes are stationary.
Yes.
Right? It's all on digital, right? I mean, it's all like data that they're racing for? Or
yeah, so these were, it was like based on calories. There was three bikes. You had to burn 500 calories on one bike, 400 calories second bike, and 300 calories on the third bike. You can split it up, and there's strategy to it, and kind of all these competitions are strategy
to it. Like 500 calories between your team?
Yes. So what was it, 1,200 calories total. I think the winning team, it took them 9.5 minutes. It was Kyle and Andre Holmes. They had a great strategy, and
what'd
just
they do?
Took it to the max. They did 10-second cycles of just as hard as you can go for 10 seconds, then off. And then they had some big boys on their team. They had Kyle. They had Markavius Lewis.
Now, they don't keep track of their specific calories, do they?
No, it's just for the bike. And as soon as that
bike
hits 500.
Care who's on it. Like a skinny guy gets the same amount of calorie burn as a fat guy.
It all depends on the rotations per minute.
Yeah, if they can pedal fast enough.
So you get a guy like Groy and a guy like Kyle who are just cranking them out like 130, 140 rotations per minute. And calories get burning pretty quick.
That's a lot.
We should all be big guys.
We're
life's
with
always much easier.
Patrick DeMarco, Bills fullback Patrick DeMarco, in studio with us for the next couple of minutes. You were here last year. You did many things like this last year. How much has the off-season conditioning program changed from last year to this?
I guess we have a new offensive coordinator and Coach Daboll. I was familiar with the scheme last year with Rico. So I'm kind of having to learn a new offense again, which is cool because it really locks you in. Everyone's on the same playing field, so you're kind of picking up vibes and pointers from everyone throughout the entire team. So we're kind of, you know, this time of year is about working up the details and assignments and stuff like that. And in the weight room, just getting stronger. And, you know, we're competing. I'm lifting with Shady or I'm lifting with this guy, and we're pushing each other. And it's fun to see guys kind of push their limits.
In a lot of ways, we were speaking with Sean McDermott in here yesterday, and he had a lot to say about why the Bills have a fullback, and what from him it was because of the defenses you face and forcing them to prepare for you. I mean, there's got to be a package for you in every game plan, so that if you need that tool in your toolbox, you're right there. So that's got to but you're the only one, right? You're the only guy active on game day, you're the true fullback. So you're if something happens to you.
Yeah, we usually try to work a tailback just to get a few reps of basic stuff. You know, knock on wood, God forbid.
He had Tolbert last year. He was kind of a hybrid.
So, yeah, it's when you got a fullback, it's something else the defense has to prepare for. It helps in short yardage, goal line. If you just want to be a physical team presence like we try to be here in Buffalo, is to just get the ball downhill and run it down their throats. So, there's also different things you can do. When you have two backs in the backfield or even spread out wide, you can get some matchups. You get base personnel. You get three linebackers in the game, and you get a guy like a Shady or Charles one-on-one with against linebacker. I like my odds with those two guys.
Right. I asked Coach McDermott this question yesterday. I asked you, how many NFL teams do you think are using fullbacks now? And the second part of it is, when the Bills switched offensive coordinators, is that the first thing you look at? Like, hey, what does Daboll like to do here?
Yeah, so I overlap. I had Daboll in 2012 in Kansas City.
Okay.
So I played in his offense. It's kind of tweaked. It's expanded a little bit since then. But, you know, this is – it's an exciting time. It's a new offense. It's a lot mentally to prepare for right now. But, you know, I like how the offense is set up. I like how – he's setting up matchups. I like a lot of the schemes that we're doing. So I think it's going to be a good success.
And what do you think, 10, 15 teams maybe with fullbacks in the league?
Yeah, I think right around there. I think, you know, fullback usually plays close to 25, 30% of offensive snaps. So, you know, some guys are more special teams driven. Some guys are more offensive driven. So kind of depends on the team and scheme. But having one is just going to make a defense prepare for stuff that they don't always look at.
I don't think there's a trend, right, that more teams are doing it than they did, or is there?
I think it's pretty stagnant.
Yeah,
I think, you know, two or three years ago, I think more teams did, and those teams were generally in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it is a different element of the game that teams have to prepare for. And I remember talking with Sean when I signed here, when he was coming from Carolina and I was coming from Atlanta. He was like, you know, having a fullback, it's another thing to prepare for. It's packages where you only have X amount of calls and this and that, and there's only three or four blitzes we have out of those packages. So it's a way to manipulate a defense in a way you want to set it up.
Yeah, this at this time of year when you come out and you're kind of competing and you're getting a feel for the offense, same thing. I mean, Daboll's going to use it. You're going to be a part of the package because I think Sean McDermott has a philosophy where he says, listen, I know as a defensive coordinator, that's it. So that's kind of going to give you a chance to say, all right, cool, I got a spot here. But now that you've had a chance to get it acclimated to that offense, is it going to be more than last year, less than last year? Do you like this offense better? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's not too much more you can do in this game. Everything, it's a copycat league for the most part. So there's a lot of carryover.
Yeah, you're not going to reinvent the wheel, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of carryover, different terminology. So a lot of the plays will be very similar with different ways to do things, more moving parts. But I like the way it's set up. I think they're going to utilize me more blocking, pass catching in different areas where hopefully I can help out. And, you know, whatever they ask me to do, I'm here to win football games. So whether it be blocking, pass protecting, catching, special teams, whatever it is, I want to get some more W's.
With Bills fullback Pat DeMarco, who is getting ready for his second season with the Bills. This offseason I want to ask you about, you got a business marketing degree at Carolina, right, South Carolina. But I saw where this offseason you spent some time in the NFL program at the Stephen Ross School at University of Michigan, right? Studying business.
Yeah,
what was that program all about?
It was a blast. It was featured in entrepreneurship, franchising, and real estate. And I've kind of dabbled in two of those already, in franchising and real estate. Uh-huh. So just trying to expand, invest in myself, really, because, you know, I'm only in this league for – So you're really investing in yourself and your future because, you know, this league, NFL, does stand for not for long for a lot of guys.
Right.
So, you know, you have to set yourself up for post-ball because it's a huge head start. I mean, we're blessed to be able to play this game and to make pretty good money while we're doing it. And I wish more guys would let their money work for them.
What kind of franchise?
Yeah.
I actually bought, I know it's wrong up here in Buffalo, but I bought a few Dunkin' Donuts in Denver, Colorado.
Now, are you from Denver? You have roots there?
No, from Florida, but we study the market. I'm with a kind of an investor group and study the market, learned a lot about it. I know there's a big opportunity for expansion there. So we bought four existing stores and half of the territory. So we're hoping to hopefully get 10 to 12 stores here in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. You said financing, franchising, and the third one was
entrepreneurship,
real estate.
So
real estate is kind of goes hand in hand with franchising, correct? Because it's more about finding a location than it is plugging it in.
Exactly. And we're going to hopefully make it a dual investment thing where we own the real estate and then we put the franchise on the real estate. Right. So you're kind of making revenue in two different ways. So super excited about that, but you know, the Ross School, it was an awesome experience. It was a 3-day program. We did on-site tours at places like Orange Theory, Jersey Mike's, at a local real estate investment firm there, and just learned a lot. It was a lot of note-taking. It was about 10 hours of class a day. But it was really cool, and it was good to network with guys because you heard a lot of guys have other stuff going on, and they're current and former players. Steven Tulloch, several guys that have stuff going on. So it was cool to kind of hear their minds, hear their stories, what they have going on, and you know, just to learn.
Dunkin' Donuts isn't wrong in Buffalo, although Tim Hortons is the official coffee of the Buffalo Bills.
I know.
I
tweeted out about Dunkin' Donuts, and I got some tweets back that weren't too fond of Dunkin' Donuts.
No, I'm sorry. It's against company policy. Yeah. But all right, so you're in the off season, and we were talking in the break, and your Twitter account, you're a big golf fan. Your uncle is a former professional golfer.
Yeah.
Chris DeMarco.
Yeah, Chris. He's a year away from the senior tour, too, right. So he's about to get back in.
He's a fairly recent professional golfer.
He's I think he lost his tour card 2 years ago, and he's kind of been floating around. He did Golf Channel for a few years.
Yeah, he did. I've seen him on some broadcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's itching to get back. He's competitive nature. He's one of three boys, my dad being the oldest, my uncle Rick being middle, and Chris is the youngest of the three boys, so – when we get all of our three families together, it's competition.
Yeah, you tweeted out a little earlier in the summer about the Masters, where some Monday passes and stuff. Mm-hmm. You've been to the Masters a couple, three times. We were talking, and give just a brief summation about why that event. We go to. I've been to events. You've been to horse races, car, whatever athletic event, sporting event you've ever been to. Why? Tell me about it, because I know I've been there. Tell me why you think the Masters is like one of a kind event.
Oh, it's just a magical place. It's beautiful. I mean, golf is one of my passions to do in the off season. Sure. So to watch these professional golfers, I'm not a bad golfer, but I'm a professional football player. I'm not a professional golfer. So watching these guys do what they do and be able to move the ball, it's really impressive. And then to be on a stage like that, and I mean, that place is just so pure. I mean, there's not a flower out of place, no gum on the ground, no trash on the ground. I mean, you honestly feel bad walking with your shoe. I feel like I should take my shoes off and walk barefoot there, because it's just that pure.
Everybody whispers.
Yeah, and the birds chirping and the flowers are blossoming. And
it's also the only major event you'll ever go to that has no corporate signage.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That and everything. Once you're there, you're there. And it's I think one of the coolest things about being there is – sandwiches are a dollar. Water is 50 cents. I mean, they set it up so
two people can eat for under 10 bucks.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's just a magical experience. I went there, I believe it was 2005, when my uncle played with Phil Mickelson, the final group, and Phil won his first major. I think people probably remember the picture when Phil jumped. You might have been able to swipe a credit card underneath his feet.
Yeah. Picked up his daughter afterwards and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think I was 9 or 10 years old and we're in the final group, and everyone was excited for Phil to finally win a major, and they're saying, go, Phil. And
didn't your dad put a bunker shot out past him and give him a line on his putt?
Yeah, actually, towards the end, I think the final putt.
18, the final putt, your dad your uncle gave him a look.
Yeah, I think Chris had like an 18-footer and Phil had a 12-footer, and Chris said, hey, Phil.
He put his sand shot in the front bunker past Phil's
He said, ball. I'm going to hit it right at the hole, you get your read. And then Phil made the final putt, and it was pretty cool. I think Chris finished fourth or fifth.
Right.
But I know he still talks about wishing he got one of those at the Masters, because he played with Tiger in the final group. He had several top five finishes there.
Yeah, so your Uncle Chris was no joke. He was a really good player for a long time.
Yeah, he's a really good player for not hitting it far. Chris doesn't hit it very far, but his short game was incredible. Yeah. So.
Yeah, So you've been to the Masters a bunch, and you see the same thing I do. Plus, you've got that family tie there, and your Uncle Chris is going to be on the seniors tour next year.
Yeah, and actually, I'm heading down to Sea Island in St. Simon's area this weekend with 10 or 11 buddies to go play golf for all weekend. So it'll be good to get back out, get in some warm weather, and go enjoy the golf course.
Pat, just prospects for the Bills this year, and how does it look different from a year ago as far as playoff berth last year? Is that within reach of this team, do you think?
I think the sky's the limit. I think with the new offense being in, having the guys being in the same defense for 2 years now, there's a lot of opportunity for us to continue to build on what we started last year. And everything with Coach McDermott, it's playoff caliber. And then let's get to the playoffs, and it's championship caliber. So it's about, each day now, it's about building and trusting the process and winning the day, being playoff caliber each day, and how you work in the classroom, in the weight room, and on the field. So it'll be a process, but I'm really looking forward to what we got going on.
Yeah, we spoke to him yesterday. He said, listen, we don't have to win a game in May. We're getting ready, though, and it's part of building towards that, that opening day through training camp, through the preseason and all of that. It's not supposed to look like it's a finished product.
Oh, for sure. And I think that we've made a lot of good moves this offseason, bringing in guys, and it's pretty evident that Coach McDermott wants a certain type of player. and a guy who's going to come in here and work his tail off and who's going to know his assignment and who's just going to go out there and play with passion. So I think we have a lot of those guys, and you know, I'm really excited for it.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming in.
Continued success. Thanks. Yeah. We appreciate having in here.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Pat DeMarco, Bills fullback, joining us. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Steve Tasker. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, presented by Kaleida Health, here until 3 o'clock today. We got Matt Bowen coming up at 2. ESPN Insider's thoughts on the draft. He is a former Bills safety, a former Bills running back, making the big news today. Thurman Thomas going to have his number retired, and that's the topic of our Twitter poll, which has been up for a couple of hours. You'd like to hear from me on the telephone line as well. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the Twitter poll, though, I think it's an interesting question. So Thurman has his number retired. Kelly has his number retired. Bruce Smith has his number retired. So now who's next? Which Buffalo Bills player should be next to have their number retired? Let us know what you think. On Twitter, 75% of you pretty overwhelmingly say it is Andre Reed. 14% of you say Kent Hull. 7% have somebody else in mind. 4% say Daryl Talley. I say, Steve, with all due respect to everybody, including you, I say no. Nobody right now. Let's take a break from number retirements.
I got to live with these guys are certainly deserving. You know, there's a couple of guys you can have a conversation about, Andre being one of them, Kent Hull being the other. Let's face it. I think you kind of got to be in the Hall of Fame to have your number considered to be retired. That puts Andre Reed and James Lofton in that conversation, although James was only here for 6 years, maybe 5 years. It's a tough bar to reach.
If it's Hall of Fame, Joe DeLaMalur would be in that conversation.
Joe D, yeah. So, that would be – but, you know, let's say Thurman was a second ballot Hall of Famer. Jim and Bruce were slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famers. That's a pretty high bar.
A couple of tweets on this and other items. Robert K. Vandewey tweets in, which golf course were you guys speaking of or tournament where there's no corporate signage and the meals were so reasonable? Well, that would be the Masters.
Augusta National.
Yeah.
I've been there a number of times, and it is a special place. And it's the most amazing thing is, first you go in and it's quiet. It's a world-class sporting event, and it's very quiet in there. Everything is manicured. It's a wonderful place. Lots of people, but they're very well shepherded around. And you go into – the way they set their concession stands up is unique as well. But you go in and you grab the stuff you want to buy and you go out. And you know, the guy I was with, a good friend of mine, we get a couple of sandwiches, a couple of bags of chips or whatever. We get some dessert things. We get a couple of drinks. So, we got a pile of food in front of this cashier, and I'm peeling off, a C-note thing, and I'm just going to be like, 40 or 50 bucks, right?
Right.
And she goes, that'll be $9.50. I said, no, this food right here. She goes, yes, sir. Two sandwiches done. She goes, that'll be $9.50. I looked at my friend and go, you want anything else? I was like, we can. And that's
circle
it.
Circle back.
That's it. I mean, it was pretty amazing. And that's the way it's always been there. And everything's wrapped in the same green paper, so you can't see it. And all the buildings and all the concession stands are completely away from play. I mean, you can get there within a 10 or 15-second walk. Nobody's even allowed to bring a cell phone into the property, let alone use one.
Really?
You have to check it at the door, and they hold it for you. And
what a great idea.
And well, yeah,
more places.
But you know what?
That.
A lot of people say, gosh, I've got my grandbaby's due or whatever. I need to call somebody. Well, they have places. There's two different places where there's a line of, old-fashioned payphones.
Wow.
There's a line of all of them. There's like 25 of them. There's one over here, and then there's one across a different location on the property. You can go and listen to this. You can pick up that phone, and if you know the numbers, you can call anywhere in the world and free of charge.
Free. So the Masters is paying for it.
It's paid for by AT&T.
How much are the tickets to the Masters? Like to watch
a little pricey,
round? A couple hundred bucks. What are we talking about?
No,
I mean I'm talking about face. You know,
face value. I couldn't tell you, but I knew this. They're going
always
from $1,500 a pop.
Oh,
$1,500 a pop per day.
You get free phone calls
per day. But that's secondary market. Yeah. You're talking, at the height of it, they're going for over $2,000 a pop. And that's just for one day getting in the door that day. But you spend the whole day there and you don't pay for anything else.
Practice rounds?
Same thing. Same thing. Oh. Maybe a little cheaper, yeah. But you're talking second and third day or third and fourth day of the tournament where, you know, Tiger's probably in contention. Spieth and those guys are, and it's a good leaderboard. It's pricey.
For face value, you can buy them from Augusta National, right? But you have to win a lottery to do that? Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, I think that.
A buddy of mine was telling me, let's get in the lottery.
If you're going to win that lottery, you bought the wrong lottery ticket. You want to win a different lottery. Because
that's not the lottery to win?
Because the odds are the same, you know, right? You have no chance of getting Augusta tickets.
All right.
Yeah, but it's because they have season tickets. People have had them for years. I mean, this family here, and you know, people have been getting them for years, and they're like season tickets, and they pay whatever it takes, and they're theirs to keep. So they do with it what they want.
All right, we're talking about number retirements. Who should have their number retired next on the tweet sheet? A couple of tweets from All Day Football. Reed, 83, can't deny the man. You were talking about Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And from Steph Go Bills, Daryl Talley was so underrated, but everybody knew that Spider-Man sleeve was heartbreaking. Seeing the only news about him was to be potentially related to CTE. Hope he's doing well. It was so cool to see the fans rally around him after that article. Number retirement for Daryl Talley, not a Hall of Famer. Certainly a Wall of Famer.
Beloved here in Buffalo,
beloved,
no
yep,
question.
Like nobody else.
It. And then from Nick Spodaddy, why am I the only one who gives Hull the love he deserves? And he's Kent falls into the same category as Daryl Talley. They're beloved by not only the fans here, but the guys on that team. Both those guys were indispensable to not only the success of the team, but even to the greatness of those players we've been talking about, like Bruce, Jim, and Thurman. Even those three guys will tell you how important Daryl Talley and Kent Hull were to their success. So,
you skipped over this tweet from Minicamp Jack. Bills are retiring 34 for Thurman. That's great. But when did they retire 89 for the greatest special teamer of all time? When did the Bills retire?
They ain't going to retire 89.
When did the Bills from the late 90s, 2000s get out on the Wall of Fame? Yeah. Thinking Rubin for sure, maybe Molds or Schobel deserve recognition too.
Yeah, you can go down the list.
Wall of Fame?
If you go down that list long enough, sooner or later you get to my name.
What, on the Wall of Fame?
You got it down the list. But it's a great conversation because everybody has their favorite players. That's part of the fun of it. You need to have conversations about your favorite player, whether they deserve it or not. It's great stuff.
Let's take a couple of phone calls on this issue. Who's next? Who should be next? Or what do you think of Thurman? Here is Jeff in Tonawanda on the line with us. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi. I was hoping to get both Pat DeMarco and Thurman on, but unfortunately, no. DeMarco can have his Timmy's last season for here, so I don't know if he knows that.
Hey, Jeff, do me a favor. Start over because we're having trouble understanding.
Yeah,
I think we got a bad
phone
line here.
Speak right into the phone there. Yeah.
I thought about Pat DeMarco buying a couple of Tim Hortons franchises, and Tim Horton spent his last couple of seasons here, so he shouldn't feel bad about that at all.
Well, he didn't buy Tim Horton's franchise. He bought Dunkin' Donut franchises in Denver.
Oh.
Yeah, you missed that part of the conversation.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it's not.
See, there you go, Jeff. No, now you're not on board. That's good.
As far as Thurman, I have to apologize, and I was hoping to get him on the line to apologize to him, because at one point I wasn't sure he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Thurman, really?
Why is that?
But then if you want to look at one game, not only he was indispensable to that offense.
Absolutely.
He redefined the third down back in football. Not only that, look at the second half of the Cleveland playoff game, and that's all you need to see.
Right. Do you mean the 1989 game where he had 14 pass receptions or something like that? And
first half, the Bills' offense was going nowhere. And the second half, seeing Bud Carson ripping his headphone off, screaming to anybody who would hear, "We got to stop this guy." Yeah. That
was all no huddle, right? That second half
was no huddle, all no huddle. And Jim, and
it was as fast as they could get it up to the line. I remember at one point they slid Minifield off of Reed to cover Thurman on at least one play.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You're right, Jeff, and that's a great call. It's a great memory because that game really was an emergence of something that happened that was very special, and it turned into what it became the next year in a Super Bowl season and then a year after and the year after and the year after. But Thurman, you know, talking about redefining a third down back, Thurman only redefined third down back because he was the only third down back who was also a first and second down back. Thurman was on the field all the time. And that's why he, you know, is a Hall of Fame guy. He did everything extremely well. And I think they – and the good part about it, even Marv said this, Thurman, they didn't know how good a receiver Thurman was until they – after they drafted him, we got him into training camp. And you think how obvious it seems now. Listen, he played at Oklahoma State. The guy behind Thurman was Barry Sanders. They were loaded at running back, and they'd hand it off. Nobody knew Thurman could catch until he got to the NFL and they started throwing him the football because they never did that in college. So I don't know that he redefined a third down back. I think he elevated the role of running back as a guy who could play every down, not just third down.
There's a call from Gary in Cheektowaga. Hello, Gary. Go ahead.
Yeah, how about Tom Sestak's number 70?
Interesting, yeah. You have to think about that. He was a great, great player, all AFL player. He is immortalized on the Wall of Fame. I don't know. Does he belong? Here's my approach, and Gary, you can answer this question for me. Do we need many more numbers retired? I mean, I like to keep that an exclusive, very exclusive club. I'm not looking to put any more numbers up there.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Gary?
I get it.
Yeah, I really feel that Sestak, he was like a one-man wrecking crew at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question. There's some guys that had some great moments. I think also that you got to look at, Gary, I would think it's got to be from front to back, from beginning to end, their entire career. And I think that's got to be taken into account. I think, and I don't know that much about Tom Sestak. I really don't. I know he was a great player. I know he played back in the 60s on those AFL championship teams. And he was, and the guys who played with him loved him a lot. They thought the world of him. He was a great player on that team. But, yeah, I got to tell you, I got to plead ignorance. When you get to guys outside of my era, it's hard for me to say. There's a tweet we just got in on One Bills Live from the Rick 625. I know his number will not get retired, but when does Mark Pike get his proper place on the Wall of Fame? Without Pike, there is no Tasker. I agree with you there. You talk about special teams guys, and that's Mark Pike was a special teams guy with me for 11 years, and he was dominant. He was absolutely dominant. He was the greatest, and Marv called him the greatest big man special teams player of all time, and he's right. He had more tackles than I did on special teams for his career.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. And I tease him a little bit, too, because him and I always used to laugh about Bruce DeHaven, our special teams coach, who's since passed away, which one of us was his favorite. And I have to begrudgingly admit that Mark Pike was his favorite, not me.
Why?
Listen, Mark was the best. He was an enormous guy, and he was a physical nightmare. He's an impossible matchup on special teams because he was so big and could run so well. He was just a dominant player, and I would love to see Mark Pike go on the Wall of Fame because when you look back on that, as successful as all – and people are so generous with my career and how appreciative they were and how much fun I had. For me, Mark Pike was every bit the player I was, and he was – and he won't get as – he doesn't get as much attention because I did a lot of stuff that got attention. I was – like causing fumbles and blocking kicks, which are splash plays. Mark Pike was a grinder, man, and he was so good. So I'm glad somebody brought him up. That's awesome.
Can I bring this up, too? And this is totally self-serving for the show. Our crew in the other room, the guy mentions Mark Pike, and within seconds they have a whole reel, for those of you watching on MSG and the TV, of Mark Pike highlights. Yeah. Good job, guys. I would never. How would they have Mark Pike?
Nothing against Mark Pike, but
really, you got Mark Pike highlights.
I know.
Let me throw Preston Reidelhuber out there. Do you have any Preston Reidelhuber highlights you'd like to see?
Preston who?
Exactly. They got Mark Pike highlights within seconds.
Yeah,
really
they did.
Good.
And for those of you watching on MSG, from a guy in the TV business, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. And when I started talking about that tweet that was just sent in. And start talking about it. You're right. Within a second or two, there was about seven or eight plays. Mark Pike splashed all over the screen.
Someday we should just spit out a Bill's name from the past and see how long
we're
going to
start doing that. We're going to
Carwell Gardner, go. You know, I mean, how good are they?
I like Carwell Gardner. In fact, today when we announced, Thurman mentioned Carwell Gardner just today on his announcement because we had when you get on Facebook Live, we did the announcement on Facebook Live here at One Bills Drive. We were on the field, and when you do that, you have to start talking for about a couple of minutes. I'm not really familiar with it, but you got to start talking a couple. They told us to talk and just kind of shoot the breeze and have a conversation for a couple of minutes so people find out that it's on live. And I don't know how they do that, but anybody on Facebook, I guess, gets a notification or whatever. How do I know?
Right.
Anyway, so during the run-up to when we were supposed to start talking about the announcement of Thurman's jersey retirement, I asked him, I said, you know, we're down here on the field, and you're like me. Everywhere you look at different parts of the field, you have memories of a guy making a play or yourself making a play or something cool happening at that area, down in that corner and this corner and out in this middle of the field. And he says, yeah, I remember right out there, the 20 Carvel Gardner got into a fight with Brian Cox. And I started laughing. We all, you know, Bill fans remember that. Because Brian Cox was a vilified in time.
Yeah.
Boy, we hated that. The fans hated him, man. He was awful. And it got to be fun for the fans to boo him. And he got thrown out of the game here in Buffalo for that fight.
Yeah.
And that's what Thurman remembered. So you mentioned in Carwell Gardner, it was timely because it was hilarious.
Hey,
and I noticed they don't have Carwell Gardner highlights.
Yes, it's been a minute and a half. No Carwell Gardner highlights. So.
All right, we got them. It's 1-1.
The earlier caller a minute ago mentioned Sestak, Tom Sestak. Great player on the Bills' mid-60s AFL title teams. So I looked him up real quick here, Steve. He's got credentials. Are you ready for Tom Sestak? I mean, I knew this, but four-time AFL All-Star, six times All-AFL, two-time AFL champion, the AFL all-time team. He's on the Bills' Wall of Fame. He's on the Bills' 50th anniversary team. He's got some credentials. He was considered for, and there's Tom Sestak video. He was considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, never made it. Some people think that's an oversight. He's got numbers. He's got, you know, when you are on the all AFL team, you know, the 10 years of the American Football League, that has to get your attention. That's a solid contender, I think, for the next Buffalo Bill to have his number retired. Now, you're going back 50 years into the 60s to do it. And Sestak, of course, passed away, I believe, in the late 80s, 1987. But that's a solid contender. All AFL, all league team in the whole history of the league. Six-time AFL All-Star, or four-time AFL All-Star, six-time All-American Football League. That's a player right there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and here's my criteria. And I couldn't have told you much about him. I know I've seen some of the highlights, like we've got highlights playing right now on MSG. But, you know, I go back and I've talked to Booker Edgerson and Ed Ratkowski and Paul McGuire, of course, and some of the other guys who played on those teams who knew Tom Sestak. And it always, the acid test is this, and you know what I'm talking about. When you start talking to these guys about other players, not even guys, even sometimes guys on other teams as well, but when you start talking about them, all of a sudden they go, listen, Tom Sestak, I've never seen
him. They get quiet
and they start whispering about him.
Yeah.
And it really is happens to everybody. I mean, they talk about that when we used to play Bo Jackson, man, that guy could really go, it's unbelievable. And, you know, that
entered church.
Yeah, like you've entered some, you know, sanctified territory. Yeah. That's how they spoke about Tom Sestak. And it just dawned on me when you started reading off his credentials. That's the way Paul McGuire and Booker Edgerson, those guys, used to talk about Sestak.
Yeah. Who should be next to have their number retired? If anyone, give us a call. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your tweets. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Matt Bowen coming up at 2 o'clock today on the show with us, the former Bills safety who is now a writer and a pretty good NFL analyst for ESPN.com. You know where? Yeah, did you see that?
I did.
The picture of this would stop me for a second. Again, on the video side on MSG, we have the end zone picture of the stadium, and you can see Thurman down in the end zone sitting down for a one-on-one. So I wonder if we can get that picture back up for the simulcast folks down in the corner by the S of the Bills.
Yeah, by the S of the Bills.
That's Thurman, right, being interviewed?
Yeah, it's Thurman. I don't know who it is.
When he left here, he said, I got to go do all these interviews.
Got to do all these one-on-ones.
And an hour later, he's still doing them.
Yeah. There
he is. Hang in there, Thurman.
It's going to be a long day. I'll tell you what, it's got to be 190 degrees on that turf, too. He's out there. Oh.
Thurman's getting his number retired. We
Good
talked
for
about
him,
that.
Man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Steve made the announcement on Facebook Live a couple of hours ago, about 2.5 hours ago. Can we play it again?
No, you don't need to do
that.
Yeah,
I want to. And I was teasing you about crying, but it did get me. Jay Harris, our producer, and I are sitting there watching it live thinking, wow, Steve, this really moves Steve. This is pretty important. Let's play it again one more time. No, seriously. I was a little surprised because you're here every day now. Well, and
it surprised me too because I told you that because I wasn't really – you didn't really think I might get choked up, but you know, it didn't really cross my mind. But, man, oh, man, it took me really quick.
Listen to this. Take a look at this. Steve Tasker announcing that Thurman Thomas is going to have his number retired. It happened about 11 o'clock this morning.
We're here to announce that on the Monday night game – 2018, when the New England Patriots come to Buffalo in October, the Buffalo Bills are going to retire your jersey, number 34, which is, I start to get choked up when I say that, because it's a big deal.
Wow.
He knew this was going to happen. We knew it. We kind of rehearsed it, but when I say this, it's kind of cool. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this. And to have the fact that nobody else is going to wear it, I think is pretty fitting. And this is really an announcement for the fans.
Yeah.
You don't do this stuff without making sure he's going to be here when we retire his jersey, so they had to make sure he did it. And we had a text loop with Bruce and Jim and Andre and Cornelius Bennett, and we're all so stoked that the Buffalo Bills are going to retire number 34 after a Hall of Fame career, coming back and living in Buffalo with his wife and children, being a part of all of our lives. It's just really cool. And I'm stoked that I get a chance to announce that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, Steve. I didn't anticipate that coming, that you'd get so choked
either.
Up about it.
I didn't
really
either,
neat.
But it is important to me, as it is to Thurman. I take great pride in having played with all of these guys, and the best part about it, the best things that's, and for those on industry, that's Patty Thomas, Thurman's wife, who they had a cake for him too at the announcement, which they brought out.
Happens to be his birthday too.
It is his birthday today, but I take great pride in the fact that I was part of that team that went to four straight Super Bowls, part of a kind of a historic and special and, you know, you say legendary team, I guess. And I told some of those guys this, and Bruce was making fun of me, and Thurman was making fun of me because we go on these vacations and we kind of get philosophical after a few red wines, you know. I told one of the most proud achievements of my life is earning the love and respect of the guys in that room. That locker room was it's a pretty tough crowd, you know. And to still remain friends with those guys a couple of decades after we finished playing, and then knowing so much about their lives and where they're at now, and being a part of each other's lives, it's hard to do in this day and age. Even though it's easier to stay connected through social media, it's fun. It's fun to be a part of it. So when something like this happens to one of those guys, I do feel it, and it popped out at the.
I think it's great. That's cool.
In a quick way, I didn't. It's amazing to me that I didn't think, well, gosh, I might get choked up with this because I was, you know, I'm always worried about it. Because they were giving me all these instructions about how to do this Facebook Live because I'm not, you know, that well versed in it. So I wasn't really thinking about it. And then, I started leaking.
It was cool. And we had Thurman on the show earlier. We'll play some of those cuts for you a little bit later on in the show. We're talking about number retirements. Anybody else? Here's an interesting tweet, only because I want to tell a story about this. Thomas Clark tweets in, Billy Shaw should have his number retired. He's in the Hall of Fame. Yes, he is. His number 66. He's on the Wall of Fame. Number not retired. You could make that argument. I'd listen to that argument. But can I tell you one story?
Yeah.
Did you play with Jerry Krafts? Was he here when you were here?
Yes, I did.
He wore 66.
Yes, he did.
As did Billy Shaw. Larry Felser, the late, great Larry Felser, tells a hilarious story about Billy Shaw watching a Bills game once on television and seeing Jerry Krafts, who was massive, right?
Huge.
And wearing 66.
He was enormous. Stretching 6'6".
Stretching 66 out all over. Billy Shaw was a tremendous guard in the old American football
league. So what did he say about Jerry Krafts?
He called Larry Felser and said, what the blank is that guy doing in number 66? He couldn't believe that they gave his 66 to the condo, Jerry Krafts.
Right.
And he probably had a pretty good argument. He was, you know, Billy Shaw was a great player.
Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
And also, he was the only player in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who played his entire career in the AFL.
Yeah.
So to go back and say, you know what, that guy deserves it, is enormous for him. And then that's that's a good.
He called Felser, told the story about, Billy Shaw, very religious. It wasn't really profane, but it was certainly He was upset that Jerry Kondo was wearing number 66 in the Buffalo Bills uniform. And when you watch, if you ever watch highlights of Billy Chaussee, what a great athlete he was, what a tremendous player he was, you can understand why he might be. And this is not a knock. It is a knock on Jerry Kraps, right? But
a little bit.
You can't.
It's a knock on giving that jersey out at all to anybody. Yeah. Not just that, you know, if you put it in anybody, it's the same story. I mean, nobody's going to measure up.
But especially Jerry Kraps.
Exactly.
It didn't look like Billy Shaw.
I got you.
Didn't play like Billy Shaw.
You know, I remember the highlight I remember about Billy Shaw. Somebody broke one down the sideline, and Billy Shaw was, you know, it was a speedster. It's like a running back or a wideout going down the sideline. Yeah. Billy Shaw was running with him step for step ahead of him.
Yeah.
The guy couldn't catch him. A guard. Billy, he was an athlete.
Yep.
It's amazing to see. That's the one I go, wow, look at that. Oh, he's a guard. He's like, guy's wearing number 66 sprinting down the sideline ahead of the speedster. That's pretty cool.
Anybody next who should be next to have their number retired from the Buffalo Bills? Thurman's going in. He got a couple of tweets on this. Western New York Bills fan tweets in. The great Ken Hull, number 67, backbone to the K-gun. We've had a lot of people talk about Ken Hull. Thurman was talking about Ken Hull earlier today.
Yeah, and Kent was, you know, obviously a guy that all of us on our team loved, and he died all too soon, it left kind of a big void in our brotherhood. Sure. There, you know. But
would he be on the Five Presidents if he were still alive?
Absolutely.
Would he?
Oh yeah. And we would look forward to his post if he. And although it's hard to transpose today's technology and ability to talk over back then, you know. Yeah. Although it wasn't that long ago, it just didn't happen. So it would be interesting to see how much he did it.
Tell listeners about the Five Presidents. Does everybody call it that, or do you just you?
It's just me, I think. The Five Presidents, a text loop. It's not just five guys. There are about seven guys on there, and it's a text loop that started, I don't know when it started, but it's a while back.
Yeah.
And the members of it are Bruce Smith, Hall of Famer, 200 sacks, Jim Kelly, first ballot Hall of Famer quarterback, Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back. All three of those guys have their jerseys retired. Then there's Cornelius Bennett, one of the two really all-time great players in the Bills on that 90s team. Daryl Talley, who is beloved by all of us and is kind of a big brother to all of us. Who else is on there? Andre Reed, of course, Hall of Fame wide receivers on there, and myself are on there. And then this last, we also added the punter, Chris Moore, because he went on a vacation with all of us, so he had to be included. So now he's on there as well, which is a great addition because he has a Southern hillbilly kind of take on everything. So we all have this text loop, and of course when Thurman's news came out, or when Bruce comes into town, or when Cornelius comes into town, or we go anywhere else, we hook up and we all realize that two or three of them are getting together, or we're all getting together, or we plan our vacation if we're going to take one together, and they all chime in on anything significant that happens with the franchise because they're all very interested in what happens with the Buffalo Bills. So none of it is publishable, but. But it is pretty funny sometimes because you see these guys who are, you know, public treasures trading barbs like, you know, 15-year-old kids, and it's pretty funny sometimes. So that's the Five Presidents text loop. And it was on this morning when Thurman – they knew the announcement was coming out about Thurman.
We got to start publishing those on the air.
No,
huh?
No.
The ones that are able to be published?
Yeah, you know, it's for us it's pretty funny. For other people it might be like, eh. Yeah, it's a bunch of old guys texting back and forth.
That's true.
So it's something, but it is, for me, it's fun, and it's almost comforting sometimes to know that those guys are still out there and engaged and stuff. And so we also keep track of each other as well, so it's pretty good.
Hey, coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Matt Bowen, former Bills safety. He is an ESPN insider. He's got thoughts on the draft just completed a couple weeks ago and about where all these teams are headed. Matt Bowen joins us. When we return, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network, sports update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. Earlier today here at One Bills Drive, the Bills announced that running back Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, is going to have his number retired. It'll happen in October, the Monday Night Football game against the New England Patriots. Thomas becomes the third player in franchise history to have his number retired. Jim Kelly's was retired in 2001. Bruce Smith's had his number 78 retired 2 years ago. Thurman Thomas, Pro Football Hall of Famer, went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 07, College Football Hall of Fame the following year. He's on the Bills Wall of Fame, and he's going to have his number retired this October. Thurman was on the show with us earlier today. Meantime, today's Buffalo Bills were on the field today for another day of the off-season conditioning program. There are reports that the Bills are getting ready to host a couple of veteran free agents over the next few days. Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive end Ryan Russell is reportedly going to visit the Bills, according to NFL Network. A free agent visit today. Russell came into the league as a fifth-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys. Spent the last two seasons with Tampa Bay. 3 sacks and a part-time role with Tampa Bay last season. Also, wide receiver Russell Shepard scheduled for a free agent visit for the Buffalo Bills, a former Carolina Panther. He went to LSU, undrafted in 2013, signed by the Eagles, claimed by Tampa Bay, 4 years there, and then spent last season with the Carolina Panthers. Those visits reported, not confirmed by the Bills. Josh Rosen, Arizona Cardinals rookie quarterback, getting significant snaps with the first-team offense for the Cardinals, impressing his coach and the offensive lineman during the first day of Arizona's first voluntary organized team activities yesterday. Carolina Panthers off the market now. Team announcing they have signed a definitive agreement to sell the team to David Pepper, a global hedge fund founder and president. UB Bulls announcing a couple of big games down the road a little bit. In 2020, the Bulls will travel to Columbus, Ohio, September 19th to play at Ohio State, their second trip to Ohio State. And the Bills also have a Big Ten game scheduled against Maryland in 2022. Hockey playoffs tonight and NBA playoffs tonight as well. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio here bringing you One Bills Live. Joining us on the line right now, a good guest of the show for several years, former Bills safety, ESPN NFL insider, 7 seasons in the league, one of them with the Bills. Happy to have Matt Bowen on the line with us. Matt, thanks for coming on. It's John Murphy and Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. I neglected to mention a successful high school football coach as well, right? You're pretty good. No, seriously, you've had some championship-caliber teams there, right?
Well, yeah, we won a couple titles the last 2 years, but that, you know, that starts with the kids. It starts with their head coach and the winning culture that our players have built. You know, the cool thing about our school is we have a bunch of multiple sport athletes. I'm a big proponent of that, and having young kids, you know, football players that wrestle and play basketball, lacrosse, hockey, and in the spring play baseball and run track. So our guys do everything, but, you know, they're in the weight room all off season long as well. And it's been great, guys. It's helped me so much as a former player, one, to create some balance in my life, with work and family and, you know, coaching a little bit on the side. And also it's helped me in my writing, you know, because I didn't play against the spread. Obviously not in the Big Ten back in the 90s. And really when I played in the NFL, I got out in 06. It was still heavy West Coast passing, 5-7-step route. And it's helped me learn that, the progression now, more of a modern pro-style offense and run-pass options and play action and more spread concepts. So everything about it has been just awesome.
I wonder, man, you mentioned a minute ago about having your athletes play multi-sports. Why is that important to you as a high school coach? What do you get out of that?
Well, I think, one, from my perspective, from the student-athlete perspective, because that's what they are in high school, it creates year-round accountability. You know, you have to manage your time. You have to manage your grades. You have to be structured in that you lift in the morning, you go to school, you go to your winter practice, then your spring practice, you come home, eat dinner with your family, then you do your homework. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But I really think that helps the young men I coach develop, helps them be stronger in the classroom, stronger in the school community, and also it teaches them different movements. You know, we've seen such a developmental arc with our kids that go into the wrestling program. You know, I'm a big fan of high school wrestling. And especially for our big guys, you know, the O-line, the D-line, the linebackers, their conditioning level is better, their hands are better, their footwork is better. I think they're just tougher athletes. You know, I tell people all the time, and Steve knows this as well, 2 days in the NFL, you know, they don't have 2 days anymore. But back when we played, 2 days, they weren't fun. They were hard. Go on the wrestling mat. That might be the hardest thing in the world. It really might. It teaches mental toughness, again, that accountability. But also, I don't really believe in specializing in sports at a young age. I think you should do everything, play everything, and compete all year round. And that's the other thing. You get a young man who plays 2 or 3 sports, he's going to compete year round now. And that's what you want. And also the upside of it. I think you don't reach your ceiling. I think you still have so much room to grow. If you're going to be a college athlete, and you come into the university setting and you still have such a higher ceiling that you can get to because you're not so maxed out as an athlete already.
Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL Insider, joins us on One Bills Live. Matt, I agree with all of what you said wholeheartedly. You're right. I love having kids play a lot of different sports. And one of the things you evaluate guys, particularly in the SEC, you had a chance to look at a couple of young rookies that the Bills have signed, wide receiver Robert Foster and cornerback Levi Wallace, two guys. And when you're evaluating players, and I'll start by asking this, do you see those players – that you can kind of tell have done more than one sport? Do they jump out at you? And are these guys, Robert Foster and Levi Wallace, rookies out of Alabama for the Bills, are those two guys that you can look at and say, yeah, those guys must have played another sport?
Yeah, you expect because of the athleticism, the competitiveness. And, you know, when you start with Foster, 6'1", 195, and ran a 4'4", 140. That's moving. Anytime you run a 4'4", 140, the NFL is going to look at you. Now, he's not totally developed, you know, and I don't think he produced at the level he wanted to or that Alabama wanted to at the college level. But he's a guy that has great body control. He can take the top off a defense. He's got enough size at the catch point. And if you're looking at it from the Bills' perspective, you say, okay, can he compete for a roster spot, a wide receiver? Yes, we want him to do that. More importantly, this guy can be a core special teams player for us. He's one of the first guys I'd have competing for a job on kickoff. I'd play him on punt team, maybe try him outside of gunner, you know, have him on the front line of kickoff return, have him on punt return somewhere in the middle. We can use that size and athleticism to trap block or to pick up a personal protector in space, a guy like that. That's how I came into the league. You know, I was a late-round draft pick with the St. Louis Rams, and that's where I had to start. I had to show Mike Marks and the coaching staff in St. Louis, Louis, look, I have played special teams for you. I'm going to play for 7 years. That's how I'm always going to make the football team is playing special teams. And that buys you time to develop. So a guy like Foster, who has the measurables and the speed, you can't really teach, but you need to work on the route running, fitting into a pro-style route tree, can be more consistent as a receiver. We can buy time for that if you're dressing every Sunday because, look, we got to dress you. We got to play you because he's one of our best special teams players.
Yeah, that's a good
Levi
point.
Levi Wallace is interesting to me because he doesn't have the measurables. He ran the 4.6 range of the combine. He's in the 170 range in terms of his weight, so he has a thinner frame. 6 feet tall, though, ultra competitive. Had a ton of on-the-ball production at Alabama this past season. And teams targeted him a lot, and I understand that. You're not going to throw it at Minkah Fitzpatrick all the time. You're not going to throw it at Anthony Averett all the time. You're going to try to stay away from Ronnie Harris in the middle of the field. So a lot of teams went after him, and he responded. My favorite thing about him was watching him at the Senior Bowl. And I love watching one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl because you're going to get beat. Everyone knows that you're going to get the best seniors in the country, not going to win every rep. He was fighting to get back in line. Okay, I always try to look at the little things there with the defensive backs. Do they want to compete? And he was taking every rep. He was jumping guys in line, trying to get more reps in front of NFL scouts. And he's really competitive at the point of attack. But again, another guy, we're talking late round pick or undrafted free agent. If I'm your coach, show me you want to contribute on special teams first. Show me why I have to keep. Because if I can keep you, not get you with your position coach and the coordinator, and we can work on your skills, we can get you in the weight room, we can add some upper body size in terms of your more functional strength that's going to translate to Sundays. But first, show me you want to be on the team playing special teams because I can use that.
Yeah, he's so small, man. I mean, I went to the one of the weekend practices at rookie minicamp here, and even just among the rookie group, boy, you worry about him. He's so small. Like, can he withstand the punishment that he would get out there corner?
That, you know, tackling, and also, can he compete with his weight till minicamp and OTAs, and he's got to go against Calvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
Okay, I think a perfect example and a perfect test, if you're the coach, to see can he compete at this level, can he go against those NFL receivers that now are 6'4", 6'5", 225? You know, that just box you out like in the low post in basketball. It's really not even, precise route running. I'm going to get in front of you, and you're not going to be able to catch the ball because I'm bigger and stronger at the point of attack than you'll ever be. That's where he's got to show coaches he can compete.
Yeah.
Okay, the tackle, you understand. But, you know, he played in Alabama. If you don't tackle, Nick Saban's not going to play.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. So he's a willing tackler. And I've always said, you don't need to be Steve Atwater as a corner. Okay, you don't. You just need to get the guy on the ground. So I think tackling, his techniques will be okay, but can he compete at the catch point against guys that have those massive frames in the NFL? Because every NFL team has. Every NFL team has.
Matt Bowen is our guest, the former Bills safety, ESPN NFL insider. who's written a lot about the draft and some of the prospects, and you wrote a lot about Minka Fitzpatrick, a guy who does have the kind of size you're looking for in the defensive backfield. You think Minka Fitzpatrick might have a lot of success in his rookie year, huh?
I do. You know, and a comparable for you guys, I think, is Micah Hyde. Okay, I think in terms of versatility and what you want from, you know, today's modern league and the safety position is what Micah Hyde does for the Bills, what he did for Green Bay, what he did at the University of Iowa. Is someone that can play slot corner, someone that can play outside, match up against a running back or a tight end flexing the formation, to roll down the box, can blitz, can tackle in space, can play in the deep middle and play in the deep half. You know, really, it's, you know, I set the expectation for him of a ceiling of being a Tyrann Mathieu. Someone that the defense coordinator can say, look, you have all these matchup guys, a tight end and running back. Well, we have our matchup guys. So let's see who wins. Okay? Now we have someone that can compete from a game plan perspective because I know he can match up in space. You know, think about Mink, when he talked to people around the Alabama program, they said he's an A-plus kid in terms of his accountability, his preparation in the classroom, the weight room, okay, and his leadership skills. And, you know, I think Miami got a great DB in that situation. I thought he was a top 10 player. I really did. I'm not surprised to see him last at number 11. But, right. Again, as a coach, you got to say, look, he doesn't have a true position. But you know what? I'm going to make a position for him. I'm going to do my job as a coach. He said, this guy is so valuable because the first kid, he can play a minute.
One of the other guys we wanted to ask you about, and one of the things you've written about, is how successful you think Bradley Chubb could be in Denver. You think he's got a chance maybe to even be Rookie of the Year. And I can kind of see your reasoning because of the defense he parachutes into. But talk a little bit about Bradley Chubb and the atmosphere that you see in Denver that could make him perhaps a defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I saw Chubb as one of the blue-chip players. You know, outside of the quarterback position, you know that. Just talking about positional players in the draft, it was really Bradley Chubb, and Saquon Barkley, and Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame. Those are the top players in the draft position-wise. And he's got everything you want, I think, coming off the net. He can convert speed to power. He's strong with his hands. He's got good counter moves. He's a three-down guy, too. You know, he's not just a pass rush specialist. He should be on the field all three downs with the Denver Broncos. And, you know, I said Rookie of the Year because we all know how to play. It's based on numbers, right? Guys who get sacked and make impact plays are up in that discussion. I think working opposite Von Miller, well, you're an offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. Where are you going to send the back to protection? I'd probably send it to Von Miller, to be honest. So now you're probably going to get some more one-on-ones with Bradley Chubb. He's in a great situation. I was surprised he fell to five. I really was. He's in a great situation to put up a lot of good numbers and make some impact plays. He's going to see more of those one-on-one situations where he can get a jump on the field.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. I think he's set up to have a really successful season, not only because he's on a pretty good defense and has a great pass rusher on the other side, but I think in the future he's going to look at why Von Miller is as good as he can be, because Von Miller is a smaller, smallish pass rusher who plays with phenomenal leverage, and the big guys can learn from the small guys in a lot of ways, particularly with the techniques they use of getting around guys, because if you're a big guy and you play with leverage, then you're almost unstoppable.
I agree 100%. And that's the great thing about everyone in this rookie class, especially when they go to a place that has an established winning culture, established defense, or an offensive culture, and how much they can learn. And Steve, you know this. The biggest thing for me as a rookie in the NFL is I was drafted by the Rams. They're coming off Super Bowl season. And it's just to see those guys work, okay, see Marshall Faulk, see Isaac Bruce, Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner, see how they prepare. How they studied opponents, what they did in the weight room, what they did in the training room, doesn't matter. You know, how to lift when you have an injury, how to stretch after practice. You think you know that stuff as a rookie, but you really don't. You know, rookies don't stretch. They never stretch. They never get in the cold tub. They don't think it's important because they don't have to because they're 20 and 21 years old. When you see a 32-year-old vet who's been doing this for a long time, maybe the guys play special teams for 7 or 8 years like I did. And you see how they prepare. That is so valuable to the development of these players. And that's stuff we can't really see. That's stuff I can't see. I can watch film and say, well, you know, this is his strengths or his weaknesses. But what goes on outside the line and watching those veteran players is so bad.
Matt Bowen, our guest, former NFL safety, played a year with the Bills, also an ESPN NFL insider. There's an interesting post we talked about on our show yesterday, Matt, where they polled you and other ESPN NFL insiders about which NFL team declined the most so far this offseason. Two of them picked the Bills. You did not, right?
I did not. I picked Seattle because of you know, really the secondary breaking up in Seattle, I thought that was the secondary that set the bar. I really believe that. You know, the Richard Sherman's now in San Francisco. Cam Chancellor has an uncertain future because of an injury. And the front four, I mean, their front four needs to be rebuilt as well. And you can't play that defense without a pass rush. So I picked Seattle. I know some teams, some guys I work with picked the Buffalo Bills. And I think that's really because, you know, up front of the offensive line, the questions for Buffalo on the offensive line, at the skill positions on offense, it's not LeSean McCoy. Everyone knows LeSean McCoy is one of the top 10 players at his position in the NFL. Really, I think it's also at wide receiver. You know what you have in Kelvin Benjamin when healthy. He's a guy we just talked about. He's got the size of the point of attack, red zone weapon, a guy on third down that you can get the ball to because he can use his body to create leverage. You know, and then you have younger players, a guy like Jones, senior development. You know, they didn't spend a lot in terms of draft capital until later in the draft at the wide receiver position and also because of the quarterback position. It's just uncertainty. That's really what it is. That's how I would look at Buffalo. I'm not worried about what they are on defense because they're head coach, because of how they play on tape, because of the additions they made to free agency and the draft on the defensive side of the ball. I think they can be in a position to win games because of that defense. But the offense is going to need to score some points and make some plays in critical game situations. You know, with A.J. McCarron, it's uncertainty. You don't have a ton of tape on A.J. McCarron. And with Josh Allen, I'll tell you this. I watched a lot of tape on Josh Allen. I watched some yesterday, too. I'm working on a post. It's going to come out later next week for ESPN about the young quarterbacks and how they fit in their offensive schemes and, you know, project towards the future. I watched his tape in the bowl game, and I watched his tape against my Hawkeyes, week one in Iowa City. And you see the natural tools. They jump every time you turn on the film with Josh Allen. His arm strength, his mobility, his athleticism. I think what Josh needs to work on, and I saw it down the Senior Bowl. Now look, in the Senior Bowl game, he was outstanding. He was outstanding. But during a practice setting, we have to see him make every throw and work against one-on-ones and seven-on-seven, all those other things that go into play in the quarterback position. There are certain things he has to adjust, I think, in terms of his mechanics and being more accurate with the football, being quicker with his eye. People say you can't teach accuracy. I understand that to an extent, but you can teach a young quarterback to fit in the pro offense and to be quicker with his eyes and his reach. That's going to make him a more accurate passer where he knows where to go with the ball, knows what coverage there is, know what window is going to be there and how to throw it. I think he has put more touch in some of his throws. And you look at his tape sometimes, and we all know. I mean, even that bowl game, the touchdown pass he threw off flash, and it was an inside post route. I mean, not many quarterbacks can make that throw with a tighter window, and it was a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. What he needs to develop is the changeup now with some more touch on the ball. We know it can throw from a college hash, which is farther than the NFL hash, to an out route outside the numbers near the side of the field. I have no question about that. But can he put some more touch on his throws and be better anticipating a middle-of-the-field throws? That's going to be his development. But in terms of the upside and the raw tools, Josh Allen had more than anyone in this quarterback room. There's no question about that. It's just the uncertainty, guys, going forward, how you coach him, how you build around him, and how you teach him to be more accurate in a professional route tree.
That's the key. Hey, Matt, thanks for this. It's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for being on the show with us today.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Matt Bowen, former Bills safety, spent 7 years playing safety in the National Football League and ESPN NFL Insider. Matt is great, and he joined us, by the way, in the Subway Fresh Tank Hotline, Subway Eat Fresh. You get into the season, and Matt starts breaking down tape and showing some of those concepts online on a regular basis on ESPN. He is sensational. He is great.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's always interesting to me because I work with a lot of guys who played quarterback in what I do, and I get a chance to see guys who played on the other side, like Adam Archuleta. I worked with a game here, and guys like Matt Bowen, who played safety, they see the game from the other side of the football.
Kelso's like that.
Right, Kelso's like that. It's really interesting for me because it's a completely different viewpoint to see the universe from, and it's pretty enlightening. I remember Peyton Manning one time at the end of his career when Ray Lewis, when he lost a game, Ray Lewis was going to call it a career, and they beat him to go in the championship game. Peyton Manning took his sons over into the Baltimore locker room so they could meet Ray Lewis, and Peyton said, "There's one guy I would really love to watch film with, is Ray Lewis."
Really? Yeah.
Because of the way he sees it. He sees the things on film that Ray does and knew the understanding that he had of offenses and how he break it down. He goes, "I don't know how that guy thinks that." You know, because it's a completely different way of deciphering the game because, you know, it's the other side of the coin. And to hear guys like Matt Bowen and Mark Kelso and Adam Archuleta, the guys I work with, break it down, it's unbelievable how different it is from just the other same team, same guy, different side of the football. Yeah. It's their mindset's different. It's amazing, and it's a lot of fun to hear, see him online break things down.
We did not ask Matt. I did not ask Matt, nor did you, about Josh Allen, but he got there when we asked him about, you know, are the Bills going to be take a step back. And he had a lot of good things to say about Josh Allen, most upside of any of the quarterbacks, which is why he was drafted 7. He said arm strength, mobility, athleticism, it's all there. It's we've heard it before. I think it's good. Smart football people like Matt Bowen, when they say that, though, I think I like to hear that. I like to hear that, yeah, you can have a different opinion about, you know, who belonged where in the first round of the draft a month ago now. Right. But people see why the Bills did that. There's nobody, really nobody who gives us a little bit of thought who says, well, the Bills are crazy drafting Josh Allen at 7, right? I haven't heard anybody.
Yeah, there's none of that going on. There's, you know, the common refrain is, they should have taken a different guy. Should have taken Josh Rosen, or they missed out on Baker Mayfield.
But there are fewer of those people now than there were
right.
a month ago.
Right, because it's all water under the bridge. There's no use complaining about it now. But I think one of the things you get now is the take on everybody saying just what you said. They're going, wow, he could be really good. You know, and then or there's guys like all he needs to work on is just a little touch pass, you know, or a little feather pass, you know, take a little something off the fastball. And that's kind of fun to hear guys talk about and decipher and some of the things that they've watched, you know, Josh Allen get ready to do. But anyway, it's been a fun day talking to guys like that. And had a lot of guys. Thurman was on. We're getting back. We should reset the.
What,
the
you
Twitter
want to leave?
Poll.
You sound like you're wrapping up.
No. I'm just ready to move on now. I can only talk about this stuff for so long. We got to
what stuff?
The
Josh Allen.
Yeah, all the new guys. All the rookies on the other team, like Bradley.
It's
Chubb,
May. Where are you going to be in August?
I know. It's pretty bad of me, isn't it?
I'm just teasing you. The new guy.
The new guy
getting teased.
I deserve to be teased occasionally.
We did have Thurman on, and Thurman is having his number retired. And what do you think about that? And who should be next? That's our Twitter poll today. Which Bills player should be next to have their number retired? And make a case why. We'd like to hear your voice on this. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the Twitter poll with 1,300 votes in already, most of you, 75%, say it should be Andre Reed, another Hall of Famer. 14% say Ken Hall. 7% have somebody else in mind. 4% say Daryl Talley. We'll take some phone calls, talk more about this, and hear from Thurman. He was on our show a couple of hours ago. We'll hear what he has to say about this when we come back. It is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve and I are laughing. We're talking about the lawnmower repair, which is, I know it's not just me, on a lot of people's minds.
Listen,
you don't think about getting your lawnmower fixed in February. Nobody thinks about that.
No.
When you need it, you need it.
Listen, I chose to skip that. I had it done big time last season, and it is such a pain to schedule it and get it done, get it in on time, have, you know, it's a 3-week wait or whatever it is, you know. And then so I decided, you know what, I'm just coasting through this year and going with what I did last year.
Didn't have it tuned up. Yeah,
and then I promised myself, and you know what? In March, I'm going to call them up and get that thing done.
I don't even see my lawnmower in March. I don't even want to see it.
I know.
I did the same thing. I usually get it tuned up every year. I did not last year because I was like, start it right up. Now I'm paying the price.
If it's hard to start, I say, well, maybe I should get it.
Right?
If it cranks right up.
Oh, I'm good.
I'm good. It's
a great company. What a great company Toro is.
The lawn looks great. I don't care.
Lawnmower repair places actually own America,
but
right?
I've got this part of America now. That's right. I've got a big-time mower, and so I need that thing working.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a chance on, you know.
So you did not get it fixed this year.
I didn't need to.
Didn't get it tuned up.
Yeah. Listen, this isn't – we don't live in, like, Texas – where you got to mow it every day for 9 months of the year, 10 months of the year. I mow it for like 4.5, 5 months.
This time of the year, though, you got to mow it at least once a week, right?
Yeah, at least.
And it's growing
like
crazy.
It's like every 5 days. If it rains and then it gets sunny, you can see that stuff get fuzzy. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm dying now because mine is in the shop.
You waited.
I waited until I needed it. How stupid. I should have taken it in.
That's the way it goes. Maybe, and you know what the key might be? You take it in there, and there's like you roll it up, and it's like there's like 900 push mowers there.
None of them being worked on.
the guy's sitting over there with his feet up, eating a sandwich.
Thurman would like this conversation. We had a good conversation with Thurman earlier today about having his number retired, the third player in Bills history. He got his number retired, joining Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith. What do you think about that? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Who should be next? What do you think about that? Or you can do it on our Twitter site at One Bills Live. A couple of tweets from Big Poppy. The question is, who should be next for have his number retired? Big Poppy says, Ken Hull. He did more for the community and this country than just play ball. From Joe, he tweets in, Jack Kemp, ? Only Bills quarterback to win a championship, AFL. Longtime public official in Western New York, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, also championed equal rights for his African-American teammates. Good points.
I could listen to the Jack Kemp argument. After being a longtime respected congressman and actually, being on the presidential cabinet for housing and urban development, he was a heavy hitter.
Sure he was.
He was a heavy hitter.
More so off the field than on.
There you go. That's part of the conversation, too. So maybe that, is a detriment or a plus. I don't know. Certainly as a congressman, he was a he'd get his number retired.
do they retire numbers in the halls of Congress, you think? I wonder.
They don't ever retire, period. Man, those guys hang on forever.
Sam Rayburn's number, his jersey right over there. This is a tweet that comes close to the way I feel. This comes from Greg Miller. Guys, that's you and me, to be on the Wall of Fame is a huge thing. Retired jersey is super elite. Love both, and this is the part I like, but don't go nuts. Hold off a few years. If players are on the Wall of Fame, that's very cool. I'm inclined to agree with Greg Miller on that. I think that's where I'm at.
I agree. I think, and being on the Wall of Fame, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, nobody's going to be sitting there thinking, man, my jersey should be retired. Well, you get on the wall, that's big.
Nobody would ever think that.
Maybe 78 would. No, he wouldn't. Here's the thing, though. Once the lid's off, then you had, particularly when they retired Jim's jersey and they kind of made the decision that maybe it would be a good idea to do it. The two guys they did, Bruce and Thurman, are absolute slam dunks.
Absolutely.
And then when you start having to have conversations about other guys, that's where you draw the line. See, for Bruce and Thurman, there ain't no conversation to be had.
You're right.
They're on. Period. So, if there has to be a conversation about other guys, that's where the conversation should stop.
That's a really good criteria. It should be a slam dunk.
It should be an absolute slam dunk.
They should say, here's the name. We're going to retire his number. You are.
Right. What day are you doing it?
Yeah.
That's it. And so those three guys, I think that's it. There's no other conversation that needed to be had for those three. So I think that's a pretty high bar and a high enough bar.
Here's an interesting tweet on the tweet sheet about this discussion. And it says, for you, Steve, this is from Chris McClure. How does Steve compare the Biscuit versus Daryl Talley with this discussion on player numbers to retire? Those two seem about even.
I can see that, too. Yeah, Cornelius Bennett was an extremely important player. And particularly for me, I think he was the catalyst that landed. Remember, we traded to get him. He was the first player picked in the draft by Indianapolis Colts. And there was a three-team deal, mega deal. It's really, and for me, I think it's the most important trade in the history of the Bills franchise when it came down. It was also very complicated. And to have it pulled off by a Hall of Fame general manager, bringing in a guy like Cornelius Bennett and sending away draft picks and Greg Bell to the Rams for Eric Dickerson and draft picks going to Indianapolis and the Bills getting Cornelius Bennett into the fold and the things that he meant to that defense when he finally landed here and the impact he had – I mean, from the first play he was on the field, John Elway didn't know what to do. And that's, he's in that conversation. Now, on the other side, Daryl Talley, you would be hard-pressed to find another player on our roster during the days of those Super Bowls who did not think Daryl Talley was almost indispensable as a leader, as a policeman, as an accountability partner for every guy on the roster. As a guy who could hold egos in check and to check the great players on that team, make sure they knew that when they were stepping out of line, everybody stepped out of line every once in a while, but Daryl was a guy who could step up to a superstar player and say, you ain't doing that.
you're wrong, and they would listen to him. It's a rare ability that Darryl had in that locker room that he exploited for the good of the team and good of himself. He was truly a tremendous, tremendous player and a tremendous human being. And, so those two guys may be darn even.
Number retired material, either one of them? I don't know.
Wow, it's hard to say.
I don't know. I don't want a lot of numbers retired.
I get it. Certainly, there to me, hey, if I was doing it all, you know, the whole roster would have been retired, you know. I mean, that's, you know, I love all those guys.
And you'd cry every time.
I shed a lot of tears over my boys, yeah. A
couple of calls on this. Who should be next to have their number retired from the Bills? Jerry and Hamburg on the line with us. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the air.
I agree with Jack Kemp 100%. And Ed, vice presidential candidate to the.
That's correct.
You read.
But what are we – we're putting numbers – retiring numbers for –
For political,
for guys careers? Post football careers.
Well, he was 2-time AFL MVP.
Yeah.
Now, you know, before I guess the 90s, I think his jersey should have been retired 30 years ago. Of course, I'm a little older, John. I think you're 2 months older than I am. But
how do you know that?
I look at those. I hold those in high esteem, just like I hold the guys from the 90s in high esteem. I think there should be a bridge. And there isn't a bridge. I mean, he was the face of those 1960 championship teams. He's third Bills, touchdowns, yardage, throws, probably interception. But, I mean, in a time where, you know, quarterbacks were sort of like the, not like they are today, where they're the name of the franchise, but I mean, 2 championships, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, he was 1965 AFL, AP, AFL Player of the Year, Pro Football Preference, second team, all 60s team. I mean, he was 7 Pro Bowls. So, you know, he was...
He wasn't 2-time AFL MVP.
No, he was once. Just once.
Yeah, well, I do agree with you guys that you can't put too many up there, but I think there should be a bridge to those 60s championship.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a franchise. It's an era in the team that kind of gets overlooked in lieu of the 1990s team. We heard a lot about the 60s teams when we were playing and going to Super Bowls every year. Those guys were guys that came back and kind of were inspirational to us as younger players to get those old guys in there. I remember right before our Super Bowl 25, Marv had Jack Kemp come to practice and say something to our team. And it was great to see him. So there was that bridge there, and as far away as it seemed at the time, it was 30 years before, just like it's 30 years now from the time of the 90s to where it is now for this team. So, I think when you get so far back in history, I think a lot of it, and I hate to say it, and maybe, Jerry, you know this, it's got to come from the fans. And when you get that far removed from the 60s, 50 years removed from the 65 team or 55 years removed, there's not a lot of people who remember the great players of those era. And it's up to really the fans to keep that alive, and that's hard to do sometimes.
Let me say this. There are a lot of players from that era on the Bills Wall of Fame. Cookie Gilchrist, the coach Lou Saban, the broadcaster Van Miller, who did several eras of Bills football. But let me continue. Booker Edgerson from that era is on the Bills Wall of Fame. George Sames, Mike Stratton, Albert DeBenyon, Billy Shaw, Tom Sestak. They haven't been ignored in terms of the Wall of Fame.
That's true, but you think about this, though. Cookie Gilchrist and Lou Saban were only done
recently,
post-ownership change.
Yeah.
You know, that was a personal thing.
In both cases,
Yeah, it turned personal. It wasn't that they would have been or should have been or for any other reason than that they were forgotten. But you're right. There was a ton of guys that went on the Wall of Fame from the 60s, and they deserved to be
sure
there.
They do. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, there is that. In fact, they didn't make the Wall of Fame for the 90s guys. It was made for the 60s guys. That's why it was even invented, because they had some great teams in the 60s, and they started commemorating those guys. And, you know, the 90s guys kind of tagged on to that.
Here's a call from Mike in Hamburg. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with us.
Okay. I kind of disagree a little bit with you guys as far as numbers being retired. The 90s teams, in my opinion, were one of the greatest teams of all time because of the fact that they went to 4 consecutive Super Bowls. Nobody's ever done that. So I have to say that there's a few players that I would like to see actually retired. The names: Daryl Talley, Cornelius Bennett, Ken Hall for sure, and Steve Tasker. I mean, as far as Steve's concerned, he was actually within consideration for the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate that. What about Andre Reed?
Well, Andre Reed's a given.
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay.
All four of those guys you mentioned are on the Wall of Fame. You're talking about jersey retirement, right?
I know that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about jersey retirement, too.
I think jersey retirement should be very, very rare. I like the fact that there's only three Bills.
Well, I agree with that.
You just rattled off four names.
Because all four names deserve it.
Well, then you don't agree that it should be rare, right? I mean, you can't rattle off four names and tell me you agree with that. I think it should be the highest possible honor. Right. The Wall of Fame is pretty cool. You're on the Wall of Fame.
Yeah, that is.
There's nothing wrong
cool.
with the Wall of Fame,
no,
by the
Wall
way.
The Wall of Fame is great. It's a tremendous honor. And there's few guys get recognized like that, and that's the way it should be. And I think the Wall of Fame is how we should recognize all those guys you just mentioned. Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Ken Hall, myself.
Three of the four are on the wall.
Right, and that's the way it should be. And in fact, Cornelius Bennett not being on the wall, I think, is I think that should be rectified. But I think that is how it should be. I think the jersey retirement, I'm kind of with Murph on this one. I think the three guys that they have on are the only guys to me that there doesn't even need to be a conversation about it. Everybody else, you kind of have to have a discussion. And once you get to where you have to have a discussion or a debate about it, it's a no.
If you have to discuss it and debate it, it says something about that
candidacy.
That's
right.
Wall of Fame, I hate, and that's another
thing. And I get
thing.
It. Mike, that was a good call, Mike, and he gets it. But he's a little bit on the like, hey, let everybody in. But, you know, I bet it becomes a little bit of a participation trophy kind of thing. You know,
does having retired jersey numbers, which is important, I'm glad there are three, but does that in any way diminish the honor of being on the Wall of Fame?
No.
Are you sure?
No,
because a guy like the last caller talked about how, oh, yeah, they're on the Wall of Fame, but they need more. I think when you have a lot of retired jersey numbers, it makes the Wall of Fame a little bit less of an honor. You're like, well, I got this far, but I really didn't get this far. I didn't get to the jersey retirement number. I think it diminishes Wall of Fame a little bit, which I think is awful. I don't want to do that.
That's true. That's true. I get your logic on that. But you know what? It's not about you or me. I guess it is kind of about me because I'm on the wall. But
yeah.
For me, it doesn't diminish how much it meant to me.
Good.
So that's really the thing.
Yeah.
So for me, no. I am totally, totally okay with the way that worked. It did not diminish what it meant to me to be on that wall. I can speak for a lot of the guys.
Well, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in the position of one of your, maybe two of your former teammates, Thurman, Bruce, Wall of Famers themselves. Jim, up until, 3 years ago, Kelly was the only one who had his jersey retired. Did that diminish the Wall of Fame honor for those two, do you think?
No, I don't think it diminished it, but I do think, as in every when you're it's natural to say, you know, kind of measure yourself against it. And you think, I wonder if they're going to get around to doing that for me. And if they do, great. If they don't,
and eventually you get to why him and not me,
right? A little bit, but I don't. You know, I don't think it becomes anything of animosity. I don't, and even this, you're not going to find like Andre Reed or Ken Hole or anybody saying, you know,
right?
Rumbling about it. They'll joke about it, you know, because we do joke about everything. So, but no.
Another reason, I think, though, not to have too many retired jersey numbers, because I don't want to see the Wall of Fame cheapened or diminished held in less esteem than it should be.
I get it. That's a good point, too. You're right.
Thank you.
You are right. I got to agree with you.
Here's another honor. Buffalo Bills kid reporter. Your time is running out. The Bills looking for kid reporters ages 7 through 13. To cover the upcoming season, training camp, home games, everything in between. If you think your child has what it takes to be a kid reporter, submit a video. Go to our website. That's where all the information is, buffalobills.com. But the deadline is this Friday, May 18th. A select number of finalists will be called upon to audition here live at the AdPro Sports Training Center. The 2018 Buffalo Bills Kid Reporter. Details on the website, buffalobills.com. But if you're interested, or if you're a son or daughter are interested, you got to do it by this Friday. Steve and I back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Learn from today's show, brought to you by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We learned today that Thurman Thomas is going to have his jersey number retired. It'll happen on Monday Night Football, October 29th, when the Bills are home against the New England Patriots. Thurman's number 34 will be retired, probably a halftime ceremony, I would think, at that game. Thurman joined us on the show today and talked about being a part of the Buffalo community and how much this means to him.
The last, 11 years that I've been back here, it has given me an opportunity to get back and really be involved with the community. And I love it. I mean, just walking down the street, you know, people is, hey, Thurman, or whatever, and just going to visit kids, going to these schools, you know. I couldn't really do that when I played, but now I'm able to do that and kind of, you know, you see some of the people be like, oh, those were some great years, you know. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, that's great. I really appreciate that, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been great, man. I love it here. You know, this is a place that I call home.
Yeah.
Even though I'm from Houston, it's a place that I call home, and I really appreciate, you know, I mean, it's everybody that's been here since we've been back have been just awesome.
Thurman Thomas going to have his jersey number retired. Pat DeMarco joined us on the show today. Bills fullback, back for his second season. New offensive coordinator. And DeMarco talked to us about getting to learn that new Buffalo Bills 2018 offense.
So I overlapped. I had Daboll in 2012 in Kansas City.
Okay.
So I played in his offense. It's kind of tweaked. It's expanded a little bit since then. But, you know, it's an exciting time. It's a new offense. It's a lot mentally to prepare for right now. But, you know, I like how the offense is set up. I like how he's setting up matchups. I like a lot of the schemes that we're doing. So I think it's going to be a good success.
Patrick DeMarco, Bills fullback. He had a lot of good things to say.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because you know what's going to happen. The Bills' opponents, and maybe even not their opponents, but their fans, are going to go back and look at Kansas City in 2012 and start watching that offense. And it's interesting, too, that we heard from Sean McDermott and also, you know, Patrick DeMarco today that it's going to be about matchups. It's about getting your best player on their worst player. And about dictating what that defense is going to look like when you take the field. I think it's pretty exciting because whenever your offense doesn't play as well or things don't go as well as it should, and that's some criticism the Bills' offense got last year. Mm-hmm. And they moved on from Rick Dennison. It wasn't productive. They're 31st in the league in passing, and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of new question marks with the guys on the roster coming in because we don't know who they are yet. But putting them in a position to be successful is what this offense is all about. So, and that's something I think is the most intriguing and most encouraging part about this offseason, what this offense is going to look like and what it's going to morph into.
I want to pay you a compliment, Steve. Your interview with Thurman, and I was teasing you about tears, but the emotion you showed kind of refocused me on what this meant for Thurman Thomas today and what it means to have your jersey retired. To be honest, when I talk about how we've got enough jerseys retired for now, the way you responded to that made me think this is big. This is important. Let's not rush to retire too many more jerseys. So thanks for doing that interview. It got me thinking. Look, we found out the other day that was going to happen, and I knew it was a big deal. I knew we'd make a show around it, as we kind of did today. But your reaction to Thurman kind of got me thinking this is a big deal. This is really pretty cool.
Yeah, and you heard Bruce Smith. He came on. He called in and talked to Thurman, and he talked about the night he went on, and we spoke to him about it, and Thurman talking to Thurman about doing it. It's home. It's getting a big hug by your family. You know, I mean, it's when you're in the middle of, you know, New Era Field and the stadium's full. It's Western New York. I mean, it's you know, it's Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody's there and everybody likes each other. It's not like the normal Thanksgiving where everybody's fighting, right? It's like the holiday where everybody loves it. You know,
yeah.
And it's being. You know, the reason for us, everybody getting together is pretty big for these guys. And I feel it. And I, And it's awesome to see because, you know, when you have somebody you love a lot, when good things happen to them, you're happy for them. And this is one of those times, no question about it. So I'm looking – it's going to be a real celebration on that night, October 29th. So. I'm looking forward to it.
I just had a flashback to the day Bruce had his jersey retired, that Jets game, right, week two of the 2016 season.
It got crushed.
Yeah, and they were in the process of getting crushed at halftime when – And it was great to have that distraction from how bad things were going and how bad that team was playing that night. It was an awful night for the Bills. And, you know, the offensive coordinator got fired the next day. You know, that's how bad that game was. This is the Patriots. Hopefully Thurman will have enough to make a difference. He'll probably say something about the game, right, when he makes his little speech,
no matter how it's going. I asked him about it. He hadn't even thought about it yet. But I'm telling you what, and I've done it, like emceed kind of those halftime things. You know, you can lose your place pretty good. I mean, I was down there doing it for when Cookie Grill Crest went on. And I was supposed to – you know, there's some people I forgot to introduce down there. Yeah. You know, so they're out there, what are you doing? Yeah. Listen, it's a tough crowd.
Yeah. You got the echo.
And people – you know, you see people are walking out to go to the bathroom and getting beer and stuff, and they're coming back in and doing – there. People are moving around, and there's a lot of moving parts.
It's hard.
Yeah.
They used to shoot me down to do the Wall of Fame stuff at halftime, and it would be like a crazy golf cart ride down because I would just be off the air at halftime.
It's a long trip around the end of that stadium.
Yeah, it is. It is. I thank God you're doing it now and not me. Tomorrow's show is going to be good. Matt Milano will join us tomorrow, a couple of other guests as well. We got production assistance today from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, and James Robel. Our producer, Jay Harris. We will be back tomorrow at 12 noon. Talk a little more about Thurman tomorrow, maybe. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.